Disney Channel movie. Let's watch a Disney Channel movie. Hello, everybody. Welcome to D-Comedy, our rewatch, review, whatever you want to call it, podcast. This month, your D-commentators are me, Lucas.
And me, Emma.
And we are here today to talk to you about the Disney Channel classic from the year 2015, Girl vs. Monster. A terribly titled film.
Horrible
title. Also inaccurate. There are a lot of monsters in this film. Oh, also, happy Halloween, everybody.
Okay, I fucking said this at the beginning of the last episode, and... I said it's a Halloween movie.
I knew I was going to hate this.
And you're like, there's too many. It's fully set on Halloween. My very first note was, I wish we watched this over Halloween.
Listen, we still haven't done any of the Twitches movies. We haven't done the Under Wraps shit. We got a lot of Halloween, Can of Worms. We got a lot of Halloween stuff in the back burner. So we got to make some concessions.
I took so many notes on this
movie. I took a lot of notes too.
I could not stop typing. I don't know what it was about this script.
This was a weird one for me.
I don't know what it was about this script. If it was just how many things about it stood out to me as being like cliche, yeah.
It's not good, but I didn't hate it.
Oh, it's also kind of a musical.
It's so weird. Like what?
What is it called when like the music is all performance based? Like, you know what I mean? Like
diegetic.
Diegetic means they like play on stereo. Like,
no, I mean it's about, in the world of
film.
Because
there's musical numbers. There's dancing. Yes, there's performance.
At the end, there's choreo and shit. But
it's not like they're singing, but it's happening inside their head and no one else can hear them. Like, it's all like band performance.
That's diegetic. It means it's happening in the world of movie.
Okay.
Like, everyone who was standing there and watching was like, that person is singing a song.
Got it.
The only one that becomes fuzzy on is the one at the end where there's a full choreographed dance number that everybody knows somehow.
Which rocked.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I don't know what it was about this movie, guys. I was locked in the whole time. I was pausing it because I had more things to write about.
I wouldn't say I was bored. I think I just kind of like let it wash over me a little bit because there were times where I was like, this is stupid and I don't like this, but I'm just going to let it happen. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not good, but it's inoffensive. Like, I was never like, oh, screw you. And there are some moments genuinely where I was like, oh, I really liked that.
Yes,
that
was there good. Was moments where I was like, is this movie great?
That's exactly what I said.
I was like, oh no, did I like this movie? I still don't know where I land on it. Really.
It's less than the sum of its parts, for sure.
But I was like, there were moments where I was like, I love that decision.
Yeah.
Great call, movie!
Yes. There are some times where I was like, there's flashes of brilliance.
And one thing I will say, I want to say to overall, to everyone in this, the actors, adults especially, are doing the best they fucking can.
They are
working. I can see them sweating. They are making bold choices. They are committing to this not great script.
The villain is really...
She's a Second City actress, I think.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't know what she was.
Shout out Chicago.
I think she's a sketch comedy actress. I was like, she is so committed.
She's very committed.
The weird assistant guy, so committed to
him. I had a note on, my first note on that guy was, I was like, he's either going to be really annoying or actually kind of funny. And I think he's somewhere in the middle, actually. He wasn't hilarious, but he wasn't super terrible.
No, I mean, okay, he wasn't, at no point was his acting terrible. Like,
No.
The things he had to say were so cheesy, but
yes.
I was like, this guy is committing to the fucking bit. You know what I mean?
They were like, here is the character you're going for, and he was like, got it. Everyone understood the assignment, like,
yes.
Put it that way. It's just the material they have didn't necessarily support it. Before we really get into this movie, there is one thing I want to talk about. We don't really do D-comedies anymore, but Emma and I do need to share a little bit of something with you all. If you do follow our Twitter, which you should, at D-Comedy Podcast, you may have noticed that a while ago I tweeted about that there was a special event being held in California, where we both live, at Disneyland, called Disney Channel Night, where it was a celebration of all things Disney Channel. And Emma and I went.
Did you post the photos of us?
I'm going to post them before this goes up. It's called Time, the schedule.
Okay, okay.
There are photos. Emma and I did dress up as Ryan and Sharpay. So,
and we got a lot of traction.
We did.
People
and so if you were there and you saw two people, it was like, hey, that's Ryan and Sharpay from High School Musical. It might have been us.
There was other people in our same costume, though.
There were.
There was like two other people I saw.
There were, yes. But we had a great time. It was really fun. A lot of, like, just the Disney Channel fan energy was really there. That being said, the event kind of sucked.
I'm giving Disneyland a break because
I'm giving them a small amount of credit.
This is the first year they've done it. I think they need to work out some kinks.
We went on the first night.
We did go on the first night, so maybe they improved some stuff by the second, or it was two nights.
It was just two.
But I the best part of it was truly the fans, like everybody else, like knowing all the songs. Like, I think I ascended into a different astral plane being in the Camp Rock karaoke where everybody is packed into the fucking Golden Horseshoe.
Yes.
And everybody knows every word to Gitchy Gitchy Goosey. I love you. I've been around it. And even when we got in, the first thing you want to do is like, we want to see the High School Musical parade. Spoiler alert, not a parade. It was a pep rally. It was a very confusing format, but that's
And no one was really sure where it was when it started.
And then you had to like crowd around the float and it was weird. But we wanted to see the High School Musical thing.
Yeah.
And waiting for it, they were playing just like deep cuts.
I was going to say. For me, the fans obviously, yes, made it the night so much fun. But really, I think the music team for the crew was, we were literally talking about some of the shit they had.
But my point is that people next to us and across from us knew these songs.
Yes, 100%. But I'm just saying, I thought they picked really good, like they knew their audience. Like we were talking about some of the shit they had set up, and I was like, oh, they should have put like a Phil of the Future thing in Tomorrowland. And as I said that, the theme from Phil of the Future started playing, and I was like, oh my god, they remembered.
Walked around the whole night basically singing and dancing because the music was so good.
And that's what everyone was doing.
Everyone was doing
so much fun.
Other people's costumes were awesome. There was girls dressed up in the full Barcelona final act, Cheetah Girls 2.
That was an amazing job.
Sick. There was a lot of really great Troy and Chads. Mm-hmm. I saw people doing big time Bolton Danforth jerseys. Were there people doing other... I didn't see... I'm talking about Ryan Sharpay and the other costumes.
I saw a Ryan in the High School Musical 2 baseball outfit because then they had Chad with them.
Yes.
I feel like I at least saw one other Sharpay. I don't know if I saw any other Ryan Sharpay. We did the Ryan and Sharpay look from What I've Been Looking For. You'll see on the Twitter. I saw people in that a couple times and I feel like I saw like a separate Sharpay or a separate Ryan.
Saw some Xenons, a lot of Cheetah Girls,
a lot of Cheetah Girls sweatsuits.
Yes. It was cold that night.
It was a little cold.
So that was a good option. But great energy. Everybody was complimenting each other on their outfits and like super fun to be around, to be like, the Camp Rock karaoke was my favorite part.
That was sick. So I'm going to call Emma out slightly here, is that Emma was so not certain if she wanted to sing. We rolled up and this person had just finished crushing This Is Me from Camp Rock.
I'm sorry. This girl fucking slayed.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even looking at the screen.
No.
And is hitting all of the high notes. And I was like, I can't go out there.
Yeah. Emma was so shaking. And then like another couple people went and she was like, we could do it better than them. We have to go up there.
Well, they sucked. And I was like, we could do better than them.
We did end up not going simply because it was already like late at that point.
We wanted to hit at most.
We wanted to see everything. So it was fun. But like certain special events like that were really great. The High School Musical pep rally was weird because they mixed it with zombies. You know how those are the same audience? And so like it was.
I did get to hear the girl in the zombie song, which I liked.
I was very excited about that. The other big snafu, I would say, for us, which was the funniest one to me, was for the Descendants.
Talk about that. I want to talk about another snafu.
Okay.
Continue.
So they had this like Descendants dance showcase thing, and they said it was at the Rivers of America. And if you've been to Disneyland, the Tom Sawyer Island like water portion
it's
with the,
where,
with
like,
the ship.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. Columbia and the Mark Twain riverboat go across.
Exactly.
And then also where Fantasmic happens,
yes,
where you would watch Fantasmic, and there's a stage in the middle of the fucking island.
And so everyone's standing there looking directly at the island, and the island...
Because that's where fucking Fantasmic happens!
And also, Descendants has the Isle of the Lost, so we're all like, oh, they're gonna be performing on the island, like it's the Island of the Lost. And so everyone's standing there looking out onto the Rivers of America, and then the thing finally starts like 5 minutes late, and...
Everything started late. I wanna be...
And then we're waiting for the music, and we turn around, and they're dancing above Pirates of the Caribbean.
Like on that bridgeway.
The bridgeway, if you're familiar. And everyone had to like rush to resettle themselves. And then they come down off the bridge. And then they move in front of, not onto the Tom Sawyer's Island, but like the area in front where we were all standing. So we had to make room for them. The ship did come around, which was pretty cool. And
they should have gone on the fucking ship.
They should have gone on the freaking ship.
Why are they just dancing on the ship and the ship sails by? Then you could see them on the ship.
These are all great
points. They started with the Uma song. I was like, just do that on the fucking ship.
But,
and then everyone could be standing along the railing and watching instead
also
of
Also the song choices for the Descendants were not great. They played like one or two from the original, and some shit was from like some shorts or whatever.
Yeah, somebody was like, this is from the TV show, and I go, the fucking what?
Yeah, it was baffling. I don't even, they did like part of Rotten to the Core. They didn't do all of Rotten to the Core, which is a crime.
No, that was.
What was your snafu that you wanted to talk about?
So we were so excited because they give you like a map, obviously.
Oh.
I will say also, this is personal preference, but I was not really into any of the food offerings.
I was going to bring that up. The food, so to their credit, it is a difficult difficult thing to theme food after, because Disney Channel encompasses so many things. They went for kind of like an after-school snack kind of vibe, which isn't terrible, but the way they went about it
things
was
like
weird.
Things like kid cuisine, like Lunchable, like that's
like
what
PB&J
they
were. PB&J yeah. and gummy bears,
whereas,
which
like,
I get.
I'm in so deep with this fucking shit, like I would have wanted like a Xenon orb food. You
yes,
know what I mean?
I wanted to eat like the weird vegan food that they eat in Xenon. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I would like, well, I'd rather do that or just like something good, but like nothing really was really striking our fancy.
No.
But they also had these things set up yeah. all around the park, which were this photo opportunities.
One.
And I was like, fuck, yes. It was like, is this Sweet Life of Zack and Cody? Hannah Montana? I'm like, yes, I'm going to get to see two boys in long flowing blonde wigs dressed up as Sweet Life.
It would have been two girls, for sure.
Yeah, two women.
Yeah, two women.
Two small women. But two whatever. Women. I was like, I want a photo with people pretending to be Zack and Cody.
Yes.
Or I want a photo with fucking Hannah Montana.
Someone,
like, that's
which, to
it.
Be fair, a lot of people were dressed as Hannah Montana as well. We didn't
yes.
mention that.
No, my favorite costume was the three. They did, like, Hannah Montana, Lily's Lola.
Yes,
and then
we
Mitchell
saw
Luso, his
mic stand.
Yeah.
the full, that was an amazing trio costume. Great job.
But I truly was like, I cannot wait to get photos with these characters. Because that's, like, another thing that they do at these theme nights. Like, I've seen, obviously, TikToks of other theme nights where it's, like, you get to get photos with characters that they don't normally have out and
exactly.
about in the parks. And so we saw, like, Darkwing Duck was mm-hmm. out. And I was like,
Launchpad McQuack.
And I was like, sick, we're going to get photos with these people. It was no characters, folks.
No.
It was truly just cardboard cutouts that said the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not even of the characters. It's not, like,
no.
you're posing with a cardboard cutout.
You're posing behind a cardboard cutout of a television. And then there's a sign that says the Cheetah Girls.
That's like just the logo behind you. Though no, the one that it made sense for was Lizzie McGuire.
Yes.
Because you guys take a photo with animated Lizzie.
Well, because you could do...
Oh, that was actually the best. Because someone did the full igloo dress from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Sick.
That was crazy.
But you could do like recreating the photo of Lizzie like as you're Lizzie and she's in the corner. That's like a promo image from the show.
Makes sense.
I get that. But I just don't want to stand in front of a random cardboard heart that says the Cheetah Girls.
Mm-hmm. Or just the words Hannah Montana behind you.
It was so whack.
There was the luggage cart for Sweet Life. You could take your photo like on the luggage cart like you were Zack and Cody. The worst one for me was for Gargoyles because they had...
That was crazy.
They had Goliath. Because like they had to have had a suit character for Goliath at some point. I don't know. But it was literally just like a 3D image of Goliath standing over you like on top of the building or whatever. It was so stupid.
The cardboard cutouts are one thing, but there was also massive lines for all of these.
Yes.
And I was like, I am not waiting in a massive fucking line to stand in front of a piece of cardboard.
100%.
Miss me with that.
Yeah, the worst one for the record was Xenon. Xenon was in Tomorrowland and it was literally just some vague Tomorrowland bullshit that then they put Xenon Girl of the 21st Century over.
Put a guy out there dressed as Protozoa.
Put the guy out there.
How hard is that?
Have like Protozoa's jacket for people to throw on at least in the photo.
I would have waited for 25 to 45 minutes for a photo with a man with frosted tips and goggles on dressed like Protozoa.
There's no amount I wouldn't have paid.
Oh, wait, they had the thing where you could do the wand and like make the ears.
Yes,
with the wand.
That was the craziest.
So
that was the craziest line though.
We
didn't get a chance to do it. We did, you'll see in the photo on Twitter, is they had like a cool step and repeat where it had a bunch of pictures of Disney Channel stuff. And a lot of it was Disney Channel movies and some really obscure ones. Like they had like Jet Jackson the movie behind you.
Yeah.
And like so they were really respecting the whole canon. We did do that.
Wait, there was no line for that
yeah.
one. And I was like, also.
Oh, it was off at a corner.
Yeah, but I'll take a picture in front of some cardboard if there's no line.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they had like three stations to do the wand ID. Like they were trying, but that was always going to be the most in-demand thing,
yeah.
to be fair. It was a fun experience overall, but yes, Disney, please, I know you're listening. Take these notes and these comments and concerns and keep them in mind for next year. We will do it again. We will spend the money, absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm ready to be heard again.
I'm absolutely ready to be heard again, but let's start talking about Girl versus Monster that we've gotten all that out of our system. So the opening of this movie is really weird because it feels like I've missed like 15 minutes of plot already.
We jump right into this haunted fucking house and
yeah.
I'm like, why are we in a haunted house? And then the band is rehearsing in this haunted house and I'm like, what are they rehearsing for? And it's like Too Cool for School. I'm like, is this school sponsored event? And then
I had that question as well.
And I go, is this their school?
We
like,
actually,
do they go to school in this haunted house?
These are all questions and they really don't answer most of them.
For a while.
But the thing is, they actually open on the graveyard of this spooky house and I was like, oh, okay. So give you guys a quick visual thing. The poster of this movie is Olivia Holt, who's the main character, turning and seeing like a weird
the main character.
Yeah, she's the main character.
Not a main character.
Well, there's whatever.
She's the girl versus the monster.
She is the girl. But in the poster, it's her turning and seeing like a weird, gross, green, like zombie hand. And I was like, okay. So
they're gonna pipe the monster punch up.
Or I was gonna say, we're gonna see a tombstone. Is it gonna have like Frankenstein written on it? They're gonna have Dracula written on it. Like, which monster is she fighting?
Gargoyle.
Yes, but it's way more complicated than that.
The lore of this movie is so unnecessarily complicated.
No, but
guys.
It's also bad. It doesn't make sense.
Horrible.
The world building is what got
me. The world building makes zero sense. Mm-mm. The lore is so, but for children, we could very much simplified this.
Yes.
Anyway, I said, what is this girl's name? Because we cut to the band practice mm-hmm. in the haunted house. And I was like, she's of course wearing bright red tights under shorts. And I was like, what is her name? I feel like Disney Channel was trying to make this girl happen for a while and gave up. Her name is Olivia Holt. And she is in a Disney Channel show, not called Gotta Kick It Up. Something about...
That's the movie we watched.
Now, you know when you, like, aren't on main Disney and they...
Shake It Up?
No, they exile you to, like, Disney XD. Like, it was, like, a show about karate.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what
about.
I'm talking about?
Hang on.
Anyway, I was like, what has she been up to recently? And then I saw she played Roxy in Chicago in 2023 on Broadway. That's how you know her career is over.
You were close. It's Kicking It.
Kicking It.
It is, yeah. Kim Crawford on Kicking It. She was also in Cloak and Dagger, I guess.
And she did some other The Cruel Summer show, but now she's in Chicago on Broadway, and so that's the death knell for anyone's career. Listen, if they're casting Erica Jane from Beverly Hills Housewives in your same role, but they're rehearsing, this band is rehearsing for something they don't tell us.
No. I also thought she was a member of this band because they invite her up to sing, and like, I was like, oh, so you're the singer of this band.
They're like, what's her name, Skylar?
Skylar, yes.
They're like, come sing, and I'm like, oh, the singer of the band, and then hot guitar guy, and then apparently she was having them set up fucking amps, yeah. I guess.
She also does this like big gymnastics move to impress
it. This was so crazy.
So, well, hey, I want to talk about the second. I do want to talk about the hot guitar guy. This is my, as Emma has said about, I think it was the girl in Avalon High before, the sun, the moon, my star. This is Luc Benoard from Minutemen, who's showing off his massive glow up in that time. He was the little kid.
I didn't remember him from Minutemen, yeah, and then I Googled him.
That's
okay.
The little guy.
Also, okay, I loved him in this.
I love Luc Benoard. He's great.
He's so great. I also want to be very clear. I think he's fantastic in this. I don't know why his hair is sitting 17 inches off his head.
It's weird, yeah.
But he's great in this. Him and Olivia Holt met on this movie and then dated IRL like years.
They have good chemistry.
They have great chemistry. Obviously, they're making out IRL. Then they broke up in 2020, and I was like, why does he look so
pandemic, they broke up,
familiar to me? I was like, this man is really clocking, and I couldn't figure it out because he's not working that much. And I was like, what's going on? He's now dating Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
Oh.
I think they're like, they live together, and he's in all of her TikToks.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I was like, that's how I know this guy.
Oh, yeah, no, I love Luc Benoard. He's great. And he's really fun. He's not in this enough. He's like,
you know,
a very
what we didn't
presence.
Need? The Henry. Cuck friend?
Yeah, Henry. So... So literally, everybody, I know we have been putting off catching up on our DCOM choice awards. We said we were going to do that during the strike, and we never did. I do have a plan to do it eventually. This is the most...
This is going to be like RDJ's supporting actor campaign. He's going to run the table on most unnecessary...
Most superfluous character. You don't need him!
First of all...
I thought he was in this band at first. He was like helping set up. And he's just there!
The second I saw him, I was like, oh... Because I saw a hot guitar guy first, and I go, okay, so that's a love interest. And then I saw him warning her not to do the flip, because it's like, that's a real don't try this at home moment. I'm like, this is going to be the stupid cuck friend that's in love with her, and like, it just hangs around...
That part
they don't actually do that, but
no.
I thought that's what this
no,
movie
it's,
was.
It's the friendship trifecta. It's one friend of the same gender, one friend of the other gender.
Yes, but I thought, but sometimes Disney will cue up that different gender friend to be cucked.
Sure,
and like then they learn a lot.
How many times are you gonna say cuck?
I only refer to.
To be fair, it takes forever.
I don't know his name.
We meet him.
I don't know her name either.
Sadie is the girl. Sadie is actually my favorite character in the movie.
I know Skylar and Ryan.
Yeah.
Hot guitar guy is Ryan. Skylar.
But no, we meet her other friend Sadie, who's just sitting
too long to
sing. She's sitting in the corner like reading a book, and I was like, oh, so this is her bookish best friend, of course. She's the smart one. I get it. And it takes literally so long in movie time to learn their first names.
Basically what happens is, I just want to run them through this. There's a sign that's crooked. They don't want to get the ladder out.
There, for the record, are multiple ladders out in the background of the
whatever.
Shot. They really messed that up.
And she's like, it's fine, just give me a leg up. And Henry, cuck friend, I'm just remembering his name is Henry. It's like, don't do it, Skylar LaVille. And she goes, no, just give me a leg up. He basically...
Gives
her a boost. She takes a running start, runs at him, one foot in. He boosts her up, almost like a cheerleading lift. She jumps... grabs the sign and then exits in a forward roll, a somersault.
She's probably done like 15 years of gymnastics or something.
And hot guitar guy is like so impressed. Like you can see him clock it, and he's like, how many
he's
years
six of to midnight, yeah.
He's like, how many years of gymnastics did that take? She's like, six and a half. And it's like, this is how they're flirting. It was so such a strange. And I was like, why are they doing this? Turns out it does come back later,
it
guys. Wait for it. But her two friends are so lame in this moment, and they do
In the moment, yes.
The girl grows on me a little bit.
I liked her a lot.
By the end, in this moment, they're like, that was a real don't try that at home moment. Like, Skylar, like, I was like, these friends, I hate them already.
They don't have a great first showing, and I think they bungle the friends pretty hard. But I think it's a credit to Sadie's actor that she does really endear herself to you. But
then they invite Skylar to sing in a band she's not
a part of at all in any way, shape, or form.
This song rocks. The songs all rock. The
song's fine, yeah.
The songs are great. I know, I love the songs.
There's actually a really great song that no one performs when, like, just the dance party, which, like, where it's like
by China and McClain.
Yeah, which is from Ant Farm. And I was listening to it, and I was like, this song kind of slaps, actually. This is good.
It's by China and McClain, and I was like, why did they have her, like, cameo? Put her in a mask.
No, they were just reusing something from Ant Farm.
What is Ant Farm?
It's a show where it's, like, about, like, the gifted kids at a school. Like, Ant is, like, for advanced something, you know, like that. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, great job singing, Skylar, wonderful. And then we meet Mira? How do you say it?
Myra. Which is an insane name for a villain.
I thought it was Myrna
It's Myra.
It's Myra.
And I was like, who is this bitch that looks like a human poodle in a pink
A human poodle is a good way to put it, yeah.
Picture a human poodle. Picture the poodle from Oliver and Company. Now picture that as a woman.
You make that reference too many times on this show, the poodle from Oliver.
And I was like, who is this human poodle in a pink blazer playing, like, the prissy girlfriend of Hot Guitar Guy? It's actually the Shadowhunters girl. She's actually in a lot of stuff. She actually has a pretty, like, legit career after this.
No, she's
in the Shadowhunter show. Her name's, like, Catherine something. Slow start. For her. Gives the performance of the movie to me.
I, while watching the movie, I was like, Emma is gonna love this character.
Her back half is so incredible.
Her back nine.
Her back nine on this movie is one of the greatest games ever played.
Shia LaBeouf call out. No, she's fine. But she just, like, yeah, shoos her off the stage being like, I'm actually singing with the band. She is also not in the band, for the record. She is just...
She's just their featured singer.
So I don't know who sings in this band.
Well, definitely not Ryan, because he's so scared.
Apparently he's
so
scared.
I hate my voice.
But they're like,
beautiful
voice. They're just like featuring... Yes, Luke Benrardi's great. They're just like featuring Myra. But they're just featuring Myra. She's not the singer of the band. And, like, I don't get who sings in this band. Also, all of these guys, including Luke Benward, I'm not gonna not throw shade at my guy, are terrible at pretending like they're actually playing
those
instruments.
I know.
It's so, every single performance, they cut to the band, like, they're just like, yeah, we got
it. Did you cut to the guy at the end pretending to play the keyboard guitar?
The keyboard is the worst. The keytar guy is the worst. He doesn't always play a keytar, but he has a keyboard.
At the end, it's so bad. I had to rewind it for a second. It was really funny.
But she shoots her off, and they all leave. Or she leaves with Sadie, her friend. And I think
she leaves with cock friends there too.
Yeah, Henry's there too. You forget it. He's forgettable. And
he's like 40 miles behind them.
Yeah, it takes a while. But Sadie explains that, like, oh, Ryan definitely likes you.
In the most basic shitty dialogue of all time, she goes, Ryan's, like, totally in love with you. And then Skylar gives this is when I was like, is Olivia Holt gonna be this bad the whole movie? And she really also, I think, has a great back nine.
Yeah.
Once the stakes get raised in this movie, she really wakes up.
It's this point before she goes through a change, which we'll talk about.
But this opening scene, I was like, this movie's about to be horrible.
It's a bad
start.
I
was like, this is gonna be bad. And she was like, we've been friends for, like, ever. No way. Plus, he's dating Myra. And then she's like, no, they're broken up. And she's like, they've been so off and on. Like, who even knows anymore? Is there an app for that? And I was like, I'm going to blow
my
brains out.
She has some lines like that where I'm just like, Jesus.
I was like, I'm going to blow my brains out. I'm not going to make it through this.
But no, the one that gets me is where she goes, yeah, it's not even like you ever really liked her. It's just Myra, like, to sing with a band, like, forces him to date her, which is a crazy dynamic for them to establish for a film. But then they go to leave and are like, oh, we're going to cut through.
They still haven't told us what this event was. So they were rehearsing for us. And they're like, we're gonna cut through the cemetery. I'm like, why? Where are you guys?
Yeah, because she has to get back home.
And at this point, I'm also thinking that, like, we're living in, like, a heightened, I can't even think of a good example, Adam's Family, like, world where these are just people's houses, or that's their school. Because I don't know that this is a weird haunted mansion that isn't, like, so when they
I have a lot of questions about the mansion.
So when they leave the cemetery and end up in Burbank, I'm like, what the fuck?
Burbank? It's freaking Vancouver.
Well, you know what? I'm saying it looks like Burbank Vancouver.
Yes.
Suburban Vancouver.
100%. So while they're going through the graveyard, her friend Sadie is very nervous about doing it. She's much more afraid than Skylar is.
Sadie. She's very scared of
this. Oh, that's good. They never do anything with that.
They don't do anything, but I thought about
that's
it.
Good. That's good. But they make a big, this is where we get the first drop that she's like, you're not afraid of anything, Skylar. You're so not afraid. Because she's even like, why, if Ryan wants to ask me out, why doesn't he just do it? And she's like, well, he's probably scared. And she's like, of what? And she says that you'll say no. And she's like, why would he be scared of that? And she's like, well, you would know because you're never afraid of anything.
Skylar is unafraid. great.
That's her main thing. And Olivia Holt is bad at playing a character who has no fear.
Yep.
While this is going on, we cut up and we see the true...
I also, again, the lore of this movie takes so long to explain. I didn't get that she was clinically incapable of fear till basically the back third.
Well, they take a while to get there. But we meet the true villain of this movie, which is shitty CGI. Oh my God.
Some of it is so... And then they'll do practical shit, and I'm like, this looks so good. Yeah,
sometimes it'll be okay. Sometimes it's fine.
No, I mean, not CGI. Sometimes they will do practical effects, and I'm like, why is everything MS Paint CGI?
No, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes it's fine, and then sometimes it's practical and looks pretty good. It's like a spectrum. But most of the time, I think they tried to make this movie too early. I think in 2015, they didn't quite have, like, I think the budget for TV CGI was still kind of expensive. Because, like, we've watched movies, like, I think they're, like...
My point is, Luke, then you don't have to make the ghosts have these crazy shape-shifting powers.
Yes,
you
need to keep it weird, gaseous,
like, keep it
bubbles.
Simple, stupid. You know what I mean? Like, keep it to, like, Halloween Town level of effects where they're like a floating cloud. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to make it this, like, the gargoyle shit. Like,
yeah.
You don't need to do that if you're not capable of doing it.
Exactly.
Or put someone in a fucking gargoyle suit. It practical.
I don't think their costume budget was that great either. We'll talk about some of the costumes for
you
the...
You mean the steampunk?
No, I meant for the monsters. That scarecrow guy is worst.
That's
literally, it's the shittiest thing I've ever seen in a Disney Channel.
They spent all the
movie.
Money on those nice leather trench coats for the parents.
Yeah, but also, no, I mean, like, the other bad female ghost, not the main one, she looks great. Like, the witchy, like, librarian vibe is really good. Theodosia,
I think they ran out of money.
That's what I'm saying. They've run out of money. And they're like, just go to Home Depot, get a scarecrow.
Put a guy on stilts.
And put a guy on stilts and be able to make its mouth open and close, and that'll be, we're good. We got it. Great.
So they're going through this graveyard, and there's a shitty CGI gargoyle following. And we see that. They don't. The girls don't.
Correct.
And I said, where's the annoying cuck friend who's male? Where is he?
I don't know.
Did he disappear?
I don't think he wanted to go through. He's more of a coward than Sadie is, I guess. Which is why he's pointless, because you have two people who are cowards.
You don't need him.
You don't need two cowards.
We see them, like, this gargoyle following them. They kind of, Olivia Holt's like, it's a cat or whatever, you know, but they exit the graveyard to go home. And then we see two monster hunters with their masks down.
Why do they wear those masks?
Protect their identity.
They don't seem to be trying that hard.
And sick leather trench coats.
It's also not a mask. It's a welding mask.
Mask. And that's also where I think they lost a lot of their... That looks like real leather. Those leather trench coats are sick.
That was a cool trench coat. I will say, I think they also messed up because they tried to make these guys too funny. And so I don't buy them as, like, competent monster hunters.
Okay, I'm going to get into them in a little bit.
Okay.
But I like these parents. The actors are good.
Actually,
I guess I'll get into it now. I don't like how they try to make them too funny because I don't buy them as super competent, but I love that they were always fighting. That's not true to life. I loved how they were like a married couple that worked together and they were always bitching at each other. And just like, I do the door. You do the door.
I like that, but there is one thing that I have to disagree with you on about that, which I will talk about in a second. And it is genuinely one of my biggest gripes with this movie. But I agree, they bounce off of each other really well.
So anyway, the fucking
they catch the gargoyle.
Catch the gargoyle and they're like, it's out already? It's Halloween, not even Halloween yet or whatever. And I know in the moment, because I read the Amazon or the Disney Plus description, these are her parents, but I guess it's going to be a reveal in 5 seconds that these are her parents.
Yeah, and for the record, just to give you the visual, they have, like Emma said, like all this steampunk like guns and stuff, and they have like a little, it looks honestly like an old
compact,
like a CD thing where like you flip it up and then the ghost gets sucked into it. They're ghost busting. It's not a ghost for the record, it's a monster, which is apparently everything, but they're ghost busting.
Aren't they ghosts?
We'll talk about it. So
they're not Frank. I want to be clear, guys. Girl versus monster, what did you picture? I pictured Frankenstein.
I also pictured Frank because of the photo.
But that's not what this is.
No, it's girl ghost busting, kind of.
It's much closer to a Ghostbusters vibe than anything.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're like not corporeal. They're like floating
corporeal. There you go.
There we go. They're like floating clouds that can manifest. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
just sometimes
and possess
they choose,
people.
They
do the Ghostbusters red eyes possession. That is fully what they do.
But yeah, they go home. The monster hunters go run off. And then I think we cut to her house.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be like the next morning. Because this is like the day before Halloween.
This is Halloween.
We see in front of their house their van. We get a good look at it. And I actually like this, is that the parents run a mold removal business. And I thought that was really funny for some reason. Like, that's such a weird job to give a decom parent.
Also, like, like they're apparently, their cover is that they're mold scientists, but then like in the back half of the movie, they're like, that's just the day job because Ghostbusters hasn't paid the bills. I'm like, so they actually
they actually really do mold. I thought that was in the cover as well, but it's like, no, they actually do know what they're talking about.
So crazy.
That was a weird pull.
And then they were like, when they're in the basement later, they're like, that's black mold. I'm like, you can't have that in your house. Like, they have a sample with they have live mold.
Well, that's why you're supposed to not. It's supposed to be, you know, no one's allowed downstairs. But yeah, it's the next morning. Skylar comes downstairs and her mom, this is I'm about to get into it because it drives me freaking insane. The mom is like, hey, I made you breakfast before you run to school.
And it's peanut butter with slices of garlic on
it. It's garlic.
It's peanut butter toast with garlic.
And the Sadie's, Skylar's like, oh yeah, I'll definitely eat that. And like throws it in the trash when the mom's not looking.
It looks disgusting.
And there is literally so many minutes in this film dedicated to the parents fighting about whether or not garlic actually fends off monsters.
That is really stupid. Did not mean.
And they never pay it off. It never goes anywhere, and it drove me insane. I was expecting like they would throw garlic at like the bad guy, and they'd be like, oh, and they'd be like, oh wow, the mom was right.
She'd be like, told you.
Or she would do it and it wouldn't work, and the dad would be like, I see, I told you it didn't work.
That's so true.
They never pay it off.
That's such a better.
And you're talking about the parents always fighting and bickering, and 90% of the time it's about that, and it goes
the garlic bickering I didn't like that. I like when they're bickering over the actual mechanics of like, you close the car door, I have the machine in my hand, or the actual, because that's how
you rock forward, I rock back. When they're tied up,
because like that's how you would actually talk to your idiot husband if you're trying to save, like,
that guy is a dumbass. Like, canonically, I think.
But I agree with you, the garlic thing is really annoying because it doesn't go anywhere and it's stupid.
It also cues me up to think we're gonna be fighting vampires, and that's not what happens.
Also,
there's a really good vampire joke later.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We'll get there.
I also would want to say she is the bloodline of the monster hunter. Wouldn't it be the dad that believed in the garlic thing? Like, if you wanted to make this at all believable.
I have a lot of questions about how the dad fits into this. I'm not going to lie. We're going to talk
about
it.
Don't worry, Cobb explains it.
We're going to, like, kind of.
During Cobb's insane info dump.
Yeah, we're. Trust me, I'm dreading having to explain all this to the audience.
I don't think I can.
But she basically says to her mom, hey, by the way, I know it's Halloween. I'm going out. Like,
Can I go to Ryan's party?
No, can I have a little later curfew because I want to go to Ryan's party at the McQuarrie Mansion, which is what it's called.
This is when I still did not really realize that was what they were rehearsing until they're at lunch. I was like, but he's having his party at that haunted mansion?
Yeah, his dad like got permission to use it or something like that.
But they don't explain that till they're at school. Yeah, yeah. So here I'm assuming it's at Ryan's house. I didn't even realize it was at that.
No, you didn't think it was the same thing. I got you. But the mom was like, hey, guess what? We're actually saying no curfew tonight. And she's like, really? She's like, yeah, because you're not allowed to leave the house. So they have a big mold symposium. All right, look, here's the bit.
Her cover.
Yeah.
Their cover every year for Halloween, which is, I guess, when all the monsters come out.
Yeah, because people are scared.
I hate this so much. So they every year have to go fight monsters on Halloween, and their cover is that there's a big mold symposium on Halloween.
Mm-hmm, yes, and so they have to go to that.
They are noticing that there's a lot more fucking monsters than usual.
Yeah, on their radar.
And at this point, all of my notes are questions because I'm like, why is she attractive to monsters more so than like the normal child? You know what I mean? Like, and does she turn 16 and they no longer can feast on her? Like, what is the 16 thing? I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, because they say you can go out on Halloween when you turn 16. And she's like, I'm almost 16. And like, you're not yet. So I'm like, okay, something happens when she turns 16. And not really. It's just that when she turns 16, they will tell her about monsters.
Yes.
I was thinking your thing was like when you become 16, like you're like an adult or something.
And they don't, they can't smell you anymore or something like that. I was like, I truly have no idea what's going on right now. But they're like, yeah, when you're 16, and she turned 16 in like two weeks.
Something like that. But she like gets so mad, she runs downstairs and is like, she's not supposed to go. And is like, dad, can I go? And he's like, yeah, sure. And the mom goes, it's tonight. And he goes, oh, no, you can't. Never mind. Halloween, you know, there's a bad element out there. We just want you to be safe.
And then they go, oh, thank God, there's a weird fedora assistant.
Yeah, Cobb is his name. But I did clock his fedora immediately, and I was like, oh, Cobb, you're on thin ice already, my man. He's fine.
By the end, I was like, this actor's really giving it all.
Yeah, he does fine. But she's like, fine, I'm all mad. I can't go, blah, and then runs to go to school. And we get a little bit more insight. They have like this weird old, carriage thing that has like got a steel or a kettle drum on top.
Oh, yeah, in the lab. When she leaves to go to school, they bust out
some monster stuff.
They pull out the steampunk carriage, which is where they trap the monsters.
Yeah, it's their ghost containment unit, basically. But that's what I'm saying, is I like that they're differentiating it from like the Ghostbusters thing by giving it all a steampunk aesthetic. That's kind of interesting and fun. But she goes to school, and so
then Cuck friend jumps out at her in a mask.
Yes, but I'm not even there yet. As you know, when we do Halloween movies, our favorite thing in Halloween movies is non-branded generic costumes.
There's so much of that in this movie.
When we get to the party, yes. It really pops off. Genuinely some of my favorites of all time. The thing is, for the school scenes, they were like, we need to communicate to the audience that this is Halloween in the background, but we don't want to give everybody all the full costumes to wear to school. So you'll just see people with like
rubber masks
or like those novelty big sunglasses you win from like Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Or like a curly party city wig.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's going on? Random weird shit. It's so funny. I loved it. It was so stupid. But yes, Henry jumps out to try and scare her, and she, of course, is unflappable in the face of all that. Yeah,
he has no fear.
And he runs into a guy who is like his bully.
He seems like he's just kind of a jerk
that is kind of there.
He seems like he's scaring people on Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't seem like they have a...
There's a thing there, no.
Also, Cock Fright at this point looks like he has a massive cold sore. And they've covered it up with makeup, and they're having him turn his head so his left is always looking at his guy, but I'm like, that kid has a huge fucking either cold sore or wound on his lip. In just this scene. Everything else, it's fixed.
And like they go to lunch or whatever later, because you know it's a Disney Channel high school. There's no classes.
Also, anyway, when the jock jumps out at him and scares him, and Olivia Holt is like making fun of him, and she's like, I think you peed yourself. Such a crazy thing to say to your friend. She's like, I think you pissed yourself, bro.
And like, he's like, that's not funny. She's like, yeah, it is. And I'm like, no, it's not funny. Like, I don't think they knew how to write her being funny.
No, her jokes are so unfunny.
They're all bad.
And then there are some other funny things in this movie. Her jokes were such like, I think you pissed yourself, bro. Yeah. And I was like, why? Why say that? It's gross.
No, the monster like main trio are actually kind of funny in this movie. They have the best bits.
Cobb gets me sometimes.
Cobb has some good moments. He's not bad, but he never got to the point where I was genuinely like, oh, Cobb.
Then they are at the lunch table.
They're at the lunch table. Sadie's freaking out because she has to give like a presentation about like the amygdala and the fight or flight response, and she's, you know, so afraid of public speaking because she's Freddy Sadie. How do they never go there?
I don't know.
And they're like, you're gonna do fine. You always get A's, and like, you're a smart girl.
She's smart, but she gets like public speaking, she's nervous in class.
Ryan comes over, starts talking to Skylar about the party, and she's like, yeah, I can't wait to go, my parents definitely said I could, whatever. Then Myra comes over and is like, hey,
get away from
we've got to go do rehearsal or whatever, Ryan. And he's like, okay, he leaves, and then she's like, stay away from my man. She's like, I would actually have to care. She says, stay away from Ryan or I will ruin your life. And she's like, to do that, I would have to actually care what you think. And I was like, did you think that was good delivery?
This is when I was still so out on Olivia Holt. And like, that's a horrible line. But I was like, this is so, so tough. This is also when I noticed Ryan's hair is sitting 5 feet off his head.
It's an enigma.
Why is it so high?
I couldn't tell you. Maybe it's a wig or something.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I think they're straightening his hair.
That would make sense. Yeah.
I think it adds a weird amount of volume. Flat, it's adding a weird amount of volume.
Yeah, I'd buy that. But so basically Myra has clocked that Ryan, her forced boyfriend, apparently,
her sex slave
for her sweet dulcet tones, is into Skylar, despite the fact they were been friends forever. Only now is he like her, I guess.
They've been friends for like ever.
But so then it cuts to there's another banner.
No, I said no, we can't do this again.
There's another
panning slanging ever so slightly crooked.
Hey, there's another banner hanging, and one of the bandmates is hanging it, and she's like, first of all, this banner, my name is way too small, it needs to be bigger.
Myra.
Also, that banner does suck. I don't know if you looked at it. It's a terrible banner. Like, she's right. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let me go get the and she goes, no, just give me a leg up. And Ryan is like, that's a terrible idea. You have a bone structure of a poodle. Like, you're not going to be able to do the launch thing that Skylar did.
Well, he's like, she has many years of gymnastics.
I know. And she's like, no, just do it. I've got it. He's like, all right. So she goes, steps back and does a running start.
Also, they're at the top of a stairwell.
It's very obvious what's about to happen, which is that Myra dies in front of everybody because she just gets launched down the stairs like head first.
Okay. Like, so he launches her. She goes flying. When I tell you that on SVU that would have killed a person,
she'd be dead.
She'd be dead. She goes fucking
crazy. School would have been over because an ambulance would have had to be called.
So Myra dies.
She literally
goes Korean, like hits every step of the way down, like tumbling.
Yeah, home
and
alone.
I was like, well, that they threw a dummy down the stairs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And like that velocity would kill a person.
It's and the multiple steps she hits along the way, the impact, it's crazy.
She's also so high in the like, it's okay.
It's on every level that girl is dead.
But she's not. She's in a neck brace.
Right? Yes, we cut to. Or I think do we go straight to practice next?
I don't know. There's that scene where the dog scares people. The dog.
Yeah, and
it's
like
a cutaway
because it's like kids are out trick or treating right now, and like none of them are wearing real costumes, which I clocked. They're all just wearing like jean jackets and shit. It's terrible. And yeah, a monster forms in front of them and scares them.
The parents
come trap, and they're like, "It was already basically solid, and it's not even noon."
Just another moment of the parents being like, "This is a weird one, guys.
This is it's Halloween, man. I wonder why all the monster activity." Oh, I don't know. Did they say when we saw the containment unit, they're like, "Maybe it's because of our special guest or something"?
Yes.
Okay. There's something going on in the containment unit. Audience, wink. And yeah, then we cut to rehearsal, which is in the most unhinged garage setup. I don't know what's going on in this room.
Why in the fuck is there a 1920s vintage roadster in the corner of that garage?
That's what I'm saying. What's going on with this garage?
It looks like a car from... It's like Henry Ford's first Model T is in the corner of the garage, and there's just tweens sitting in it.
It's gotta be that Ryan's dad is uber rich, right?
But it's a shitty garage.
Yeah, but I don't... Like, that's where he keeps his classic car. I don't know.
It's not a classic car. It looks like what Samantha...
It looks like the original car.
It looks like what Samantha, the American girl, went driving in with her uncle. Like, and the kids are using it like a table. They're all sitting in it.
There's a lot to unpack.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? This was where... But this band rehearsal, after I clocked the vintage roadster, I was like, is this a full-ass musical?
I understand. How many songs are going to be in this thing?
Because now Ryan's got a ballad.
Yeah, Ryan, they had to let Luc Benoit get a song in there, I guess.
I like this song. It really fucking rolls. It's called Had Me At Hello, but the at is an at sign.
How would you know that?
I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Okay, because I was like, he doesn't say at sign.
But you could find that online because I wanted to see the track list. And it's like, I'm already into you. Hold me tight now because I'm so, like, it's a little sexual. It's like, I'm so good to go. Don't Say Goodnight, You Had Me at Hello. I like this song. They reprised it at the end.
The songs are all fun.
They reprised it at the end. I do have to say, I was watching him do this, and Olivia Holt sees him too, because she walks into the garage, and I was like, I'd be so in after seeing 5 seconds of this. Like, if I saw a guy, of the guitar, I was like, he was doing nothing for me, and then I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, this is Luc Benoit, I love him. No, but so he finishes up, and she's like, hey, that was great, you really sing. So in my mind, he's the singer of this band. And he goes, no, I was terrified the whole time having to sing.
He's like, wasn't that fucking terrible? I'm like, stop fishing for compliments.
It's like what you always say, it's like when your hot friend is like, oh, I'm terrible. And
it's like, I'm so ugly. It's like, stop fishing, girl. Like, he's like, isn't that awful? I'm like, you have the voice of an angel. Please shut the fuck up. My favorite moment in probably the whole movie is when she goes, where's Myra? 5 feet from her. They are sitting as close as I am sitting to you right now. In a neck brace.
Maybe she didn't recognize her with the neck brace on or something. Also, this movie doesn't know what a neck brace is.
She can't talk.
It's like they think her jaw is wired shut, which I mean, it's like, it's really high up and obviously it would impede your ability to like open your mouth wide, but she just talks like,
she talks like Donald Duck.
Well, but I wouldn't say that.
That's fully what she's
not going like a...
Basically, yes.
If you prefer. But she can't sing is the point of it. And she can't object to Ryan saying, oh my gosh, you know what? You know how you coincidentally also sing really great and sing really great with my band? Why don't you...
And know all my band songs.
And know all my band songs so conveniently. Why don't you sing with us for the night and take over since Myra's out of commission? And she obviously doesn't like that idea. But Skylar's like, yeah, sure, of course, I'm down. I have no fear.
Well, she starts at one point being like, because she knows her parents aren't going to let her go to this.
Yeah, right. Well,
so she at one point is like, I don't know if I can, like, maybe like my parent, and like she starts to be like, I can't. And he goes, I need you. Mm-hmm. And I said, at that point, I would have killed my parents.
I mean, she kind of.
I would have Gypsy Rose Blancharded them in a second. At that age, if a man like that said, after he just performed a ballad and said, I need you, I would have Blancharded hard.
Then she's like, okay, I got it, I'll do it, no problem. And then she leaves, and I was like, shouldn't you stay to rehearse? But no.
She knows all the music, she's not in the band.
I guess. So, and she goes home.
That scene was, I'm sorry, just, I need to go back for a second, palpable sexual tension between those two. Yeah, he's biting and licking his lips. Yeah. He's really that hot guy.
Emma, they can't see you doing the biting of the lip.
That little hot guy over right where I was like,
stop. This is just for me. I don't know why you're doing it. No, Luc Benoit knows.
He's nice and tall, too.
He understands the assignment like everybody else.
I like how tall he is.
So the parents are like, oh, yeah, man, shit, monsters are everywhere. It's going to be a busy night. Cobb, which is the assistant, I'm going to need you to stay and watch out for Skylar because make sure she doesn't try and leave and go against our wishes. And then he's like, okay, great. You know, my my babysitting rates. And they're like, how about free? And she's like, cool. And I was like, do you pay Cobb to be your lab assistant even? Like what is his role?
What is Cobb's role?
What is Cobb? Do we find
also,
out later?
Does Cobb also do mold? Or is he
That's my question. Like, is he? So we find out later that he's an apprentice monster hunter and he's studying under them, basically. But I'm like, but do you also help with the mold stuff?
I don't know.
Like, what is your, like, and if they don't get paid for monster hunting, do they pay you to help with monster hunting?
I don't know.
It's an interesting, I'm not sure what's going on there. And I think they also, this is where we get set in stone that there's like a bloodline thing going on with monster hunting, where they reference like the mom side of the family kind of thing.
Is it?
I think in this scene, yeah.
I don't even know when they explain that. This is also when I saw, like, you see the Diamara, you see her in the
Diamata.
Tank. And I'm like, Diamata, I'm like, who is this fucking fierce drag queen in the tank?
She has
like,
big drag queen energy,
I was like,
for
slay,
sure.
Mama.
Yeah. You see her head, like, there's like a viewport in
yes.
the thing. Yeah.
It's like giving Haunted Mansion vibes.
Very Haunted Mansion vibes.
They also just, like, I will say, like, they're talking about, like, oh, it's going to be a tough Halloween. But they almost are approaching this at this point in a way where, with this, like, Halloween being tough with monsters, the way that I, like, annoyed with my desk job. And people, like, throw too many meetings on my calendar. They're like, it doesn't seem like they're at, like, DEF CON 4.
Yeah, because
they're like, oh, this is going to be a big one. Like,
well, because I think that actually is, like, in the canon of how this world works. Because the monsters don't really hurt people.
That is my question until basically the last 20 minutes of the movie. Can they kill people?
Diamata is a special case because she's, like, one of the especially evil ones or something.
But they didn't
need to
do this.
But the other ones, just the way the monsters, they're going to explain this in a bit, and I'll give you the base level now, is, like, monsters feed on people's fear. So they just want to make people afraid so that they can feed on fear because it makes them more powerful and then they become corporeal in the world. But I don't think they want to do that to, like, kill people. And it's also that's the thing, is like, if you, so every, and this is the craziest, this is what breaks the whole thing for me, is that every person has a specific
that
monster.
I was like I'm out
too far
they didn't need to do that.
But no, here's the thing that you have to think about though, is every person is supposed to have a specific monster, right? So their specific monster can't kill them because then they don't have a source of fear to feed on,
they go to their child.
But then she's a special one. But then also the other level to that is they reference that, like, so I'm like, so okay, you would have just trapped a monster, and it's presumably somebody's monster, because every monster is somebody's monster, right? So does that person have no fear?
That person now has no fear.
But then they reference that, like, fear, you're always going to be afraid of something, so fears come back. So it's more of like an inconvenience that the monsters become powerful enough to become corporeal, because they will come back. Like, it's not like, again, I guess Diamata is a special case. Like, so if the monster hunters steal my fear monster, I am maybe without fear for a little while, but there will come along, like, it will come back eventually.
I'm trying to see if I can impale myself on the side of this desk.
It's so messy.
Convoluted.
Just make it that fear makes them strong, and so they're strong right now.
And they can, but also, like, then by the back half, they're like, you can get paralyzed with fear,
yeah.
And then they can scare you to death. I'm gonna scare you to, what the fuck is that?
I don't know. Watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, maybe.
This actually brought you by Ghostbusters.
it is actually in theaters now.
Dan Aykroyd just pulls up a chair. I guess Dan is here. So basically then we cut to Cobb being like, I'm gonna babysit. Or he calls him, I'm not your babysitter, I'm your teen social companion.
Which is a good
that
line.
Made me laugh.
But no, you cannot not bring up her phone. So
What
is going on with her phone? What is happening on her phone?
Why was it a video?
What the shit? This made me lose my mind. So
it's an iPhone.
So hang on. No.
That was crazy.
Set the scene. They're downstairs having this whole conversation about monsters and shit. She's upstairs on her phone and she's like looking at Ryan's contact thing, tempted to call Ryan and explain, I can't go, my parents are keeping me, and she's clearly tormented over this. But while she's doing that, the like imagery of like a video player
player you would see on your iPhone if you were watching a YouTube video
is over the
contact.
Over the contact. And I'm like, oh my gosh, did they like forget? Like they gave
to
her
click.
they gave her the phone and like they just said it's just gonna like a video of his contact, or like it's like to play it to like submit.
Because then it goes to Sadie's contact.
But I'm like, no, it has to be superimposed in the footage, because there's no way you would film off the iPhone and it would look like that.
No,
like,
you get a glare.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So someone had to have put that on there.
But it's an error, Luke. They definitely, it's definitely a slideshow that they needed to flip from Ryan's contact to Sadie's contact.
Yeah.
And they left the player thing visible in it.
And across multiple shots. Like,
yes.
I don't know how they messed this up so badly. Bonkers. gang. Like, literally. But yeah, she switches to Sadie's contact and calls her and be like, hey, guess what? Meet me outside my house in 10 minutes. I'm busting out of here, baby. Oh, maybe this does happen after Cobb, after they leave already, now that I think about it. I thought it was before, but they leave and set an alarm on the house.
They lock her in with an alarm.
Yeah, they lock her in with an alarm and are like, Cobb's gonna watch over you. And she just says to Cobb, I'm gonna be in my room. I don't want to hang out with you, blah. And then makes this phone call.
Then she's going to cut the power.
And I'm thinking, okay,
That's gonna let the drag queen loose.
Well, no, I'm like, hey, this devious girl who's got Monster Hunter blood and 6 years of gymnastics training, she's got to have a plan for how she's gonna.
Her
cut the
plan
power.
Is cutting the.
Her
power.
Plan is literally just walking downstairs in front
and
of Cobb.
Cobb follows her.
And Cobb follows. Like, I thought she was gonna distract him. She was gonna like do a phone call thing to like make him go into another room. But she just walks downstairs into the kitchen, and he's like, "Hey, did you change your mind? You want to play Jenga?"
And she's like,
"I gotta go do some laundry downstairs." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "Wait, there's no laundry downstairs." And he just walks downstairs, just follow her. And she's in the middle of cutting the power. And I'm like, that was your whole plan, was to just say, I'm going to do laundry downstairs.
And she lets that, cutting the power will obviously let that drag queen Diamond loose.
Yeah, they make a reference to that the power needs are crazy this year.
Yeah, they said that earlier. Like, yeah. These steampunk portal traps are run on a power.
Yeah, they're just the power grid, I guess, yeah.
But when she cuts the power, shit goes crazy. And this is when I was like, these practical effects and explosions are very cool. They start doing like flickering lights, there's smoke going everywhere, like you have her.
But then when they do a shot of Diamata flying around.
And when they do a shot of the door flying off, CGI'd.
Anytime anything needs to fly in this movie, it looks awful. Let me just say that.
So these were kind of cool. And I was like, oh my God, these are awesome. Like, they have like that flickering light thing, like bulbs are crashing. You see Skylar and Cobb running for their life out of the lab. And then there's a shitty CGI door flying off as it explodes.
But Cobb is freaking out and he's like, okay, everybody get out of the and get out now, because Henry and Sadie show up as well. They all run outside. And yes, the drag queen, slay queen.
The way that it's just a woman in white makeup and like no ghostly filter.
It's just a woman. It's just a lady.
Like they,
it's just a mean lady.
They couldn't even do like any sort of like haunted mansion filter over her and make her look like a ghost. Like, just a lady.
Just a lady.
In like an Empire waist dress and white makeup.
And she like flies out and she's
and
like.
And then she goes, Theodosia. Bob. Bob got the short end of the stick.
That's the scarecrow guy we were talking about earlier. He looks, I kid you not, everybody, like jack shit. He looks so bad. Theodosia has a cool outfit.
It's kind of bird-like.
It's a bird-like. She's like got old librarian glasses kind of a thing. Like, she looks like a Salem witch ghost or something. And they reference that she's like a witch later or something. I don't know how that works. Bob, I immediately saw and I was like Theodosia shows up and I'm like, oh, okay, that's henchman one. Then henchman two shows up and I was like, oh, you're henchman two. And he's like stupid, I guess. You don't really need him either. And she's like, oh, great, I'm Diamata, I'm free, wonderful. It's Halloween. And she's like, oh, you guys are looking well. Whose fear have you been feeding on? Theirs, they say. So it turns out that Diamata... So Cobb, we're going to get into Cobb's whole info dump, as Emma said.
Well, I like at this part where she's like, one second, before you get into this part, because I know where you're going now. They go, this is so, it's so much fucking crazy.
So much all at once.
Basically, they're like, where are the monster hunters? I need to go find your parents, basically. And Olivia Holt's like, what the fuck? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'll come back for you. We have an eternity together, yada, yada.
She's doing a good job looking really afraid, though.
Yes. And she's like terrified, and then they flee to go find the parents, these three. And then she's like, what's going on, Cobb? He's like, it's kind of a long story. It hurt delivery here. She goes, well, can you sum it up? But the two henchmen, what happens?
So
look at me like I just.
Well, I thought you had, there was more, you were saying more. So Cobb explains what we already mentioned is that the way monsters work in this world. Is that every person has a monster attached to them.
Which basically. I think makes this so much more complicated.
More, and unnecessarily complicated. Everyone's got their monster, and normally you can't see them. They just, like, kind of are, like, around when you're
they
afraid.
They're a feeling of fear. They give you that pit in your stomach.
Yes. They feed on your fear, and when they get enough fear, they become powerful enough to, like, manifest or something like that. But there are certain, like, ones that are in a special case, and one of those is Diamata. So, and this is where it takes...
They call them, like, the Eternal.
They call, like, the Ancient Ones, I think, at one person. Then she's, like, Diamata the Eternal, so, like, she's, like, of the ancient one, she's the eternal one. I don't freaking
Lucas,
know.
Lucas, we're spending more time on this than the screenwriters
did. I know,
did.
But so here's it takes this weird kind of like dark turn where it's like Diamata bound herself to her grandfather who was a monster hunter. She comes from a line of monster hunters on her mom's
side. The mom's side.
There's a weird joke where it's like when the grandpa died and then passed on like Diamata's possession or whatever to Skylar by extension.
She needed a new host, basically.
She needed a new host. And the grandpa was able to keep her at bay because he was a monster hunter.
But then she killed the grandpa. He succumbed. She scared him to death.
Yeah, something like that. It's a weird thing. I don't really get it. And so now the parents are the premier monster hunter. The mom is the premier monster hunter. And the dad also became a monster hunter to help. And she goes, wait, so what are you saying? Like, he converted and then...
And he goes, don't worry, they're reformed, which is a Judaism joke.
Yeah, that's a religion joke, right? Like, what?
It's specifically a reformed Judaism joke. And I was like, what is that for?
What is the joke?
Okay, so there's like reformed Judaism and conservative Judaism.
Oh, okay.
And so like conservative, they're much stricter. Among most of my friends that are Jewish are reformed Jews.
Interesting, okay.
And so it's a lot looser. And like you can convert and marry a Jew. Like it's a lot like...
That's what I thought.
It wasn't a big deal.
I thought that's what they were getting at.
It just means it's more relaxed.
But honestly, that's a great joke.
For the kids?
That's a great joke. But
his delivery on it is great.
But that's why the dad is a shithead, by the way, because he's not meant to be doing any of this. He's just helping out. I mean, I guess like he and Cobb are like the tech guys and the mom is supposed to have more of like the monster hunting genes kind of. But the dad seems to be taking the lead a weird amount.
They were going to train you at 16.
That's the traditional way to do it.
But with your monster hunting bloodline, you would just be monster bait. Like that's why they're so worried about her, because they will come after her and she's not ready.
Yes, but they...
I would have loved this information a lot earlier.
But they also explained that the reason she has no fear is because Diamond lashed herself onto Skylar as a baby. Also, the wig they put the mom in.
It's so bad. If I was that actress, I would have stormed off set. They didn't even brush it.
Diamond claims Skylar as a baby, and then the parents take like the grandpa's monster hunting gear and like modernize it kind of to make like ray guns and ghost traps and shit. And they manage to catch Diamond and store her in the containment unit, which has like never been done before. They are supposed to be, for the record, the best monster hunters in the world. I don't know what other monster hunters are doing if they don't have this technology. Like, if you're like another monster, like Cobb wants to be another monster hunter, he's not related to them. Like, if he didn't have this tech, how are you doing any of this?
I don't know, Lucas. I don't know.
Again, the world building of this movie sucks. But so now that Diamond is out, she can feel fear now. She's feeling fear for the first time.
So because they were able to use those tools to lock her away for 15 years,
yes,
she's never felt the emotion of fear.
Right, because her fear monster is locked up.
But she goes straight to denial.
Yeah,
like, she's like, this is a dream. Yep. I'm going to Ryan's party.
If this is a dream, I might as well break my parents' rules and go to Ryan's party anyway. And Cobb is like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Actually, go to Ryan's
party.
Which
is so crazy.
That's crazy. That he's like, immediately just like, yeah, good call.
Convenient logic.
Very convenient.
He's like, yeah, go to the party. You'll be safer there. I'm like, in what world?
In what world? And he's, I guess his logic is like, once she does whatever she's going to do to the parents, she'll probably come back here. And if it's better if you're not there. He's like, I got to stay here and fix the containment unit. So yeah, go ahead and do that. And but he's like, but I'm giving you a bunch of weapons to fight ghosts, monsters.
I feel like Cobb hates Sadie also. Every question he asks, he's like, shut the fuck up.
I don't think he likes either of the friends. I don't think he likes
Henry. He thinks Henry's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Well, he thinks Sadie's annoying.
Yeah,
wow. Every time Sadie talks, he's like, okay, enough.
Yeah. Well, it's because she's asking poignant questions that he's like, listen, we don't really have, like, I don't know how much you want from me here. But then we cut away to the monsters on, like, a bridge.
The CGI is so ugly.
And this is where we get to see some of their comedy shine through. And the best joke in the movie.
Okay, just a little Stephen King Twilight humor
yes,
for the kids.
Yes, which is good. It's funny. Like, it lands.
And when they're talking about gross eye comedies, is it like a Judd Apatow reference?
I'm not sure. I was thinking more of like those parody movies, like a superhero teen movie. Like,
I get what you're saying, but they do a Stephen King bit about how like they're like, oh, are horror movies still big? Like, is Stephen King still writing? And he's like, yeah, but his last book was historical fiction. Spooky historical fiction?
She goes, not really.
Not really. And then they're like, well, are vampires? Well, yeah. Vampires are really popular now.
They're just like, do kids still afraid of like monsters? She goes, well, vampires are really big. And then the actress who does Diamond is actually does really good. Oh, we can work with that. That's good. And she's like, yes, but they're romantic vampires that just fall in love and stuff like that. She's like, that is a great joke.
Then we see the parents and they're like trying to track down these monsters.
Yeah, like their radar blows up now that all the monsters are free.
And their radar is going crazy, and Olivia Holt calls them.
Herb, the mom, calls them. And she does a lot in this scene of calling her mom mommy, which I didn't like. That gave me
She's scared.
I know, but it was just weird.
It's an easy way to telegraph that she's scared. But the mom is basically like, Cobb is not lying to you. This is all the truth.
Yeah, she needs to confirm. Yeah,
because
yeah.
Cobb's crazy. And she's like, this is all real. I am a monster hunter. You need to stay safe. And then the ghost cuts the cell line.
Ghosts like fly through the van and like disrupt all the technology. I guess that's a power they have. Which I was concerned is like, so does their ghost tech not work? Okay. Monster tech. I keep going to mess that up every time.
Ugly fucking bird.
The bird shot. I have that down too. So then they're in
the van. is in the corner of the frame. The main frame is this Aubrey.
It's the worst shot I've ever
statue.
Seen. I don't know who directed this.
It's a statue.
So they're driving and the ghosts fly through. So they've stopped the van to like get out and shoot the monsters or whatever. But the shot is literally a mile away from the van, and all that's in the foreground is this weird bird statue. And
it's like 90% of the frame.
Again, you're not gonna get it because
you're looking
you
at
movie.
It for so long.
But yeah. So once she hears it from her parents and she's like, okay, I guess I will listen to Cobb. We're gonna go to the party then. He's like, okay, I will follow you from the helmet cam, which is just a GoPro. That's a GoPro. And then later on, they cut to footage from it, and it literally is a GoPro.
Like also, when he's like prepping them, when they're standing out in the yard, he's like prepping them to go to the party.
Yeah, he's giving them the guns.
And he's like,
you're a steampunk character.
But they're outside. Way. It's actively raining on them. You can see it raining.
That's Vancouver,
on,
baby.
You can see it raining on his glasses, and Olivia Holt's breath is showing as she's trying to walk away and like saying that.
Sunny. It's always sunny in Vancouver.
Like, and I'm like, oh God, they're, and you can see her like makeup. Like, I'm like, they gotta get out of this rain quick. Your makeup's gonna melt off. They start walking through the graveyard to the party.
Well, they have to walk through a bunch of woods first.
Yeah, there's so much
there's
fucking
woods.
There's
so much woods.
And like, they were letting
She said the house was down the street. This is a hike.
They're going through a forest. I thought it was, okay, you're right. I thought it was a cemetery, and then I realized they're going through miles.
No, you go through the woods to get to the cemetery, and then
they're going
to the
through
house.
Acreage.
It's crazy. And this is where it gets dropped, and I think
and everyone has a personal monster.
But that's the other thing. Not only do they have a personal monster, I forgot to hit this point on the head. Her best friends just happen to have personal monsters who are the henchmen of the main.
Cluck's friend's monster is Bob the Scarecrow.
Yes.
And Sadie's monster is the
Theodosia, the librarian or something like that.
She calls her the school mom.
The school mom.
I started calling her the school mom. Like, that's
and then,
interesting.
And no, but that's the thing, right? That's what got me immediately. First of all, Sadie's thing is really tied to, like, her character about, like, needing to have confidence in herself and her abilities. Being like, whenever I would mess up at school, like, I messed up in a spelling bee. I couldn't spell goat because I got so scared. I could swear I saw her. So I'm like, wait, so you've been seeing this weird ghostly apparition your whole life and just never said anything to anyone about
and
it?
And he's, like, in the locker room. And actually, now he's, like, I would see him in the locker. I'm like, you saw that scarecrow in the fucking
Confirm that scarecrow has seen Henry's dick.
I think that's part of his fear.
Yeah.
It's like, if hers is tied to school, his is tied to insecurity as a man.
Well, no, his is also that it's like, yeah, there were these creepy woods behind my house and I would see him back there sometimes.
Which makes sense for the scarecrow, but then he would say, and then in the locker room when the
boys it's also just like, that's what I'm saying, like, you're assigning the monsters to these guys and it's like, okay, one tied to her fear and insecurities, and then you, Henry, I don't know, you got some shitty woods behind your house and there's a scarecrow there. That's fine. That'll do it.
Also, at one point, I gotta just rewind a little bit because I don't know if you caught this. As they're getting ready to go to the party and he's trying to like stop Skylar and like, you know, give her more of this info dump.
Yeah.
Cobb fully, I think, runs into the camera and they get the shot. He's so frantic and giving this performance all he's got. He runs and you see the camera go like the shot jostles and I'm like, was he supposed to hit the camera?
They're like, listen, they had that and they had the bird shot and they're like, we just gotta use what we got.
Keep it pushing.
Keep it going. Keep the cameras rolling.
I did like that they call out that all this stuff looks steampunk.
Yeah.
He's like, you sell him with a steampunk costume.
Yeah, you're like, thirsty. Because, like, yeah, now she's in, like, her big damn hero outfit where she's got, like, a wrist-mounted blaster and stuff.
The holster looks
sick. The holsters are good. It's good. It's good. It's not bad. And then they get accosted in the woods by, like, stumps that turn into monsters, I guess.
Horrible CGI.
The scarecrow does show up to frighten Henry, and he gets scared.
Skylar finally sacks up and shoots a tree stump. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Which was confusing to me because, like, she manages to, like, destroy it. And I was like, so wait, what are the traps for if you can just destroy it? Cobb does explain the guns do different things, but it's all whatever.
The guns don't do anything.
I'm also
stun them.
And also convinced the guns just use like the sound effects from Star Wars, like pitched up or something.
Okay, also the guns just don't do shit.
Yeah.
They stun them.
Except when the plot decides they do
but
something.
But the wrist blasters pull them into the CD-ROM player.
Oh, that is the difference. It is like Ghostbusters where it's like one is hurt and the other is contained.
Yes.
To drag them into the trap. Okay. I didn't get the difference.
I wrote, these MS Paint effects are making me feel sick. I can't visualize.
Oh yeah, every time they shoot the guns, it looks awful. As much as we said the actors do a great job, it's because no one shoots a gun convincingly.
No.
It's just them like holding
their
arm.
You can never tell where you're aiming.
It's just them holding their arm out going like, it looks terrible.
Cut Kid's really bad at that. Gun aiming.
Shocker. Shocker.
Also, I wrote in Jed's series, I really hope he gets killed. He's legit dead weight to this series.
He gets frozen stiff, and I was like, good.
I was like, for sure they're taking him out of the equation because he's doing nothing.
And I was like, oh, yeah, go back and help Cobb. That's what you need to be doing.
I said, great.
I was just laughing at her.
I said, great, thank God, get him away.
Get him out of here.
But Cock Kid gets
Henry.
Wheeled out in a wheelbarrow.
On a wheelbarrow. Because when you say frozen, he literally is
also,
like.
Also, how long does it take to get from their house where Cobb is?
Yeah, Cobb shows up immediately. It's crazy. Because he's been watching on the GoPro or whatever.
He wheels him away in a wheelbarrow. He's like, I think I can fix him. And I was like, so is he dead or not? Like, can these ghosts kill people? Like, what is this?
He just mixes some chemicals together and, like, puts it in his ears and he's fine. It's weird. But then we come back to the parents who are, like, chasing Diamata through, like, an industrial area. And they're still bickering. And I'm like, I like it. But I'm like, guys, you're literally facing, like, the evil spirit who's possessed your daughter for the past 15 years or whatever. Like, you know this is bad. Like, let's not have the garlic argument for the 15th time again. You know, like, let's be on top of it. And she, like, mimics Skylar's voice to make them think that she's kidnapped
her. And then she captures them.
She captures them.
Uses their fear of something happening.
But this is really where the guns don't do shit. They are unloading every single clip of ammo, not that it has ammo, into the ghost, and it does nothing to them. And I was like, when you guys caught her last time, it seemed pretty easy. You literally just shot her once and, like, put her in a trap. It was fine. Like, why wouldn't that work this time?
When the ghosts were swirling around the parents, too, that's when I felt legit sick. I was like, I can't watch this. Then the parents are captured and they are tied up. And I immediately am like, are they in the mansion where this party's at? Yes, right?
So this is, I need to ask so many questions about this mansion, because then we find out later, I'm going to get into this now.
It's her grandpa's house. Okay, hey, friends, hey. Listeners, audience, lend me your ear. At 15, did you know your mom's maiden name? Because I did. And what the fuck?
And they don't even pay.
No, they know the last name. It's the Macquarie Mansion. And therefore, old man Macquarie would be her grandfather.
And they don't even pay lip service to the fact that, like, the family doesn't want to live there because it's, like, a monster house or something. Like,
well, they also, the lore of this mansion is that he lost his mind.
Yeah.
He went mad due to the hauntings of the ghosts. And, like, then immediately, they could have said, oh, my grandpa must have been called in to fight the ghosts. He helped old man Macquarie. No.
Nope.
She goes, my grandpa is old man Macquarie.
She finds
he
that
was
out.
Killed, you know, because she has a picture of her mom in the house.
Yeah, in the house.
He was killed in this house. This is my grandpa. And I'm like, so you never knew that your mom lived in this mansion, and you never knew your mom's maiden name.
A quick spoiler alert, that doesn't matter. It doesn't go anywhere.
Could have been anyone's house.
And they don't mention, like, when they get the mom back, they don't, like, hey, so why didn't you tell me that we own this mansion or whatever?
Wouldn't it be cool if they, like, moved into the mansion and had, like, a ghost busting?
That's what I thought they were setting up for the end. Because they keep saying, like, their containment unit sucks. So, like, maybe now they're in a bigger house. They have bigger facilities.
And then they don't have to hide from Skylar
anymore. And now
the
kids are ghost hunters too, you know, like, whatever. It's freaking crazy.
I will say, they're tied up. The parents are again fighting about the ropes, which cracks me up. This poor actress, Diamata's actress, is giving this charades bit all she's got. Trying to make them guess via charades.
This is where she works.
She's going to kill them. And she's like, first word. And I was like, this is a seasoned sketch comedy professional. And she is trying her darndest.
But also, why did she bring her to the house? Why Diamata? Put her in this old house just because that's where the grandpa used to be, I guess. It's never really explained.
No, you're right.
Why did she pick this place to tie them up?
I don't know.
Why not just tie them up in the industrial area? If she had tied them up in the industrial area where she had caught them, they would never have been found.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, she has a whole scene with the parents, like, and it's about how she's gonna kill them and stuff, and, like, make them afraid and, like, feed on their fear or something. Which is, this is where it gets confusing for me, because
I like this.
This back and forth is good.
I like this back and forth because she's like, I'm gonna scare you guys to death, and I'm like, didn't know that was an option. And she's like, I'm gonna scare you guys to death, and she's trying to be scary, and they're, like, stone-faced. She's
they're like, we've been monitoring for 15 years, baby.
We're professionals. Yeah, like, you're gonna take a lot more than that. And then they mention the daughter, and that's the second that you can tell, which is a good story beat.
Yes.
And, like, the only thing that could scare them is her hurting or scaring their daughter. And so then they get some real fear going. And then this fierce cunty bitch says, I need a costume. And I was like, what? Where
this
are we
is
going with
when
this?
I was like,
and then
oh
this
boy.
Movie goes from 0 to 75 miles an hour, baby. I was like, here we go. So Diamata smoke flies into the bedroom.
How does she know who Myra is?
I don't fucking care, dude. Into Myra's bedroom where she's eating ice cream in her neck brace.
Trying to. She can't open her mouth.
And she possesses her Ghostbuster styles, red glowing eyes. And not only does she possess her, she throws off the neck brace, no longer needed, and looks fucking
she gets a
slay.
She gets a killer. She gets a killer evil outfit.
Evil red outfit, gorgeous glowing red hair with, like, waves, black stilettos. She's cinched to the gods in a belt, and she's fucking serving cunt.
She's giving Lauren the red vibes if anyone's played Baldur's Gate 3.
Also, Myra's voice is different now.
Yeah.
Because I can tell this actress was putting on a voice in the beginning, a very high-pitched, and now she lowers it, and she's like, smoking hot. And I was like,
smoking! She becomes Jim Carrey's The Mask.
I haven't watched that movie, too. I haven't watched the fuck out of that. Also, I was like, is that the fun based off the fact that the shitty effects are smoke.
I mean, it should be, because what this movie loves a shitty CGI smoke effect, let me tell you.
That's what I think it is.
Well, before we get into what she's doing in her new costume, why don't we take a quick break? And so you can really dive into what's about to happen, because like the kids are about to arrive at the party and everything. Yeah. So it's good timing. So everybody go get your costume on, because we've got a Halloween party to do it then. Hey guys, just FYI, there's some construction going on, like, in my apartment next to me, so if you hear some weird noises in the background, that's what's going on.
So Sadie and Skylar arrive at the party.
Yeah, Henry's back at at Cobb's lab.
Also, if you are writing a movie, or you're writing a book, or a poem, whatever, don't give two of your main characters' names that start with the same fucking letter. I hate that I'm saying Sadie and Skylar.
I've messed their names up a couple times. But while they're walking into, like, the party, like, Sadie is unpacking what fear is for Skylar.
Because she's still, she's like,
she's like,
I've got this feeling in my stomach and I feel sweaty and I don't know what to do. And Elijah goes, that's fear. What you're feeling.
And Sadie's like, I think she said this earlier, but she's like, I get it when I talk to guys and girls. And I was like, oh, Sadie, bisexual? And she's like, and everybody.
I know,
but I was like, oh, I thought it would have been nice. Because, yeah, now she's at the party where she's got to see Ryan and sing and whatever.
And see a bunch of unlicensed, unauthorized.
This is so good. It's like genuinely some of the best crop we've ever gotten. Like the costumes.
I got a lot of just random Party City wigs. Someone did just like an off-brand Cat in the Hat that's like the wrong colors.
I literally have in my nose, now here we go, baby, non-branded Halloween heaven.
I was obsessed. She's like making her way through the crowd.
Yeah, Ryan's freaking out because he's like,
you don't have a singer. I'm like, God forbid you sing, you literal stunt queen who is like, I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I guess I'm gonna have to sing, because he's like applying throat spray. Like,
yeah, don't make me sing.
Don't make me sing. Pulls a microphone out of his bag.
Don't make me sing. He's perfectly capable of singing all of these songs. It's not an emergency. No. He's like, where is Skylar?
Oh no, I guess I'm gonna have to sing.
He spots her, and then like, this is like a good story beat where like, it's like, oh shit, for the first time she's experiencing stage fright.
For the first time in forever.
And so she's like walking through the crowd, like, and you can hear her internal monologue. She's like, oh shit, why is everyone looking at me? Like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then she gets up and the song starts and she's like frozen and can't
pass. Speaking of frozen, first time in forever. But he had said at the rehearsal, like, hey, if you ever get, you know, scared at all, you just gotta get lost in the music, man. Be like Eminem, lose yourself.
And he's like, just look over at me if you get scared.
That
like
too.
They do connect eyes on
that
stage.
Too.
And then she starts singing. And this song kind of rules. This is a...
Is she supposed to be doing, like, bad? Because she sounds fine to me.
No, I think she sounds... They're just trying to, like, get in her head after. She sounds bad at the beginning, and then she
evens out. Yeah, yeah.
It's just gonna scream out loud.
I didn't ask for this.
She's gonna stab me now. And then...
But she's doing pretty good. Who walks in?
Mother Cunt Slayer herself. Myra possessed by Diamata. There's nothing funnier in the whole movie to me. But besides the moment when she says, where's Myra? And she's 4 feet from her. when this ghost is possessing this woman, ideally to get at Skylar. Like, this is like...
She's trying... So I think Diamata referenced at this point that, like, she can't just take Skylar over. She needs to feed on more of her fear to, like, make herself stronger so she'll be, like, a good receptacle for
totally
her spirit or whatever.
Missed that plot
So
point.
She's like, how can I mess with her? And she's like, I'm gonna
I thought
strike
she was
her
just... in my mind, I was like, I love how this ghost is like, I could go for after my mission, but actually I need to serve fucking cunt on this stage.
She gets lost in it.
And flirt with this teen.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is this part of your agenda in any way?
Yeah, I've got to neg this dude. Because, yeah, so she walks in and Skylar, like, trails off singing. And she's like, that was terrible.
And stage she's like, five, six, seven, eight.
She walks up, steals the mic. He's like, thank you, you're done. And then Ryan's like, what happened to your neck? She's like, I found a doctor who's out of this world. Now, boys, keep the tempo up. Let's crank it. And,
does it crazy routine. Also, is the voice coming out of her Adam Lambert?
She?
What? That is the most demented thing.
Well, it's coming out of, I think, hell or something, because at a certain point she gives the microphone away and is still singing, presumably to this entire crowd. Also, I mean, I've already said it a little
She's doing Dancing with the Stars lifts.
She's, this performance also a little sexy.
Really sexy? She's flirting with it.
It's a little surprising for Disney Channel.
And guess
say.
What, honey? Everyone's living.
Everyone's literally random dudes are just like lifting her up.
And Dancing with the Stars style. Also, I will say this really reminded me, which is just like, I think this movie cribs a lot from like Ghostbusters, which I'm like.
Parts of it, yeah.
I don't love some of it, but like, this gives big time Hocus Pocus.
I got
the performance at the party, the parents' party.
I put a spell on you.
Yeah, yeah. It is very much that.
I've never seen Hocus Pocus, as I've said on this podcast before, but I know that scene.
But it is very similarly coded, and I was like, I love this. I love this. This is where I was like, this woman is killing the back nine.
As we've said, doing a great job, and this is where she really gets to.
And then at the end, she goes up to him, and at the hot guitar guy Ryan, and she's like, "You're dead, sweetheart.
This band sucks.
This band fucking blows. You're dead weight, sweetheart."
Which, why did she do that? Like, what to what benefit is that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this has nothing to do with her plan. She's like, "Hold on, let me bully this teen before I get back into my actual plan. I gotta go gag him." So I was like, "Read him for filth, mama." This is when we get. This is when they actually get into the grand.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was getting ahead of myself, but it's such a.
I don't mean to do it again.
It's such a nothing burger.
Because she finds a photo of her mom in the fucking mansion
with old man McCoy. It's like, I guess that was my grandpa. And I was like, you didn't know who it was when you were talking about your grandpa. But this is also for me where Sadie becomes a cool character, because she was like, no, listen, I understand there's a lot going on right now, but
this is where Sadie levels up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she has a great back nine. She's like a great back three. She like comes back together in the last three holes of this movie. And I was like, okay.
She's like, hey, listen, I know I'm Franny Sadie, but you're the girl without fear. You're Daredevil.
A little bit better at shooting the fucking gun.
Yeah. Also, she needs to learn how to spell goat. I don't need to watch that seven times.
Do it once and then twice where she does it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need it 14 times.
No.
What the fuck are we doing?
Same thing over and over again. It's terrible.
Oh, God. That made me insane.
We'll get there.
That was like your garlic bit. I was the goat bit for me. I was like, I cannot watch
this. Goat bit is more concentrated to just the latter half, whereas the garlic thing is throughout the whole movie up to a point. So that's why it got me more. But Sadie's like, no. Look, I've got the little tracker thing Cobb gave me. There are ghosts all over this place, and all of our friends are upstairs in the baller. We've got to start busting these ghosts. I mean, monsters. Because
I really liked her in this moment. I was like, thank God someone's stepping up to the plate, because I'm waiting for Olivia Holt to become the hero of this movie.
It kind of happened.
Marianne.
Yeah.
But they decide to stay and help their friends fight the diamonds. And then the diamonds. I will say, this is when they cut to Cobb trying to revive Cuck Friend.
Yeah, he just mixes some shit together.
He mixes two bottles that are just water with food coloring.
Yeah, 100%.
But he's so committed to his own bit.
Yeah.
You would think he was working with nitrous oxide. Like, it's like, I'm like, good job for trying your best.
And he just rubs it in his ears, and Henry wakes up and he's like, okay, you're good now. Anyway, I've got to fix the containment unit. And Henry's like, okay, I'm just going to go home because I don't want to do any of this. And he's like, hey.
Let him go.
He's like,
let him go.
Well, he says, you can still be helpful you'd be helpful by helping me fix the containment unit. And he's like, okay, I'll do that. And I'm like, that should have been move number one. Henry should not have gone to the party, should have stayed and helped Cobb.
I just like how Henry's like, I'm fucking useless. I'm going to go home.
He's self-aware.
My two friends are out there, my two female friends, and I cannot help them worth a damn. So I'm going to go home.
Because I have a small penis that a scarecrow made fun of me about.
Cobb hates this kid so much. He's like, yeah, that's what you should do. Hide under your bed, you fucking cuck.
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, I guess I could say it helped fix you. He's like, yeah, you might want to help whip me.
You might be able to hand him a wrench.
Yeah.
No, but that's the crazy thing. I'm thinking like, yeah, hand him a wrench or whatever. But we cut to him back and he's trying to weld shit. I'm like, why would you have the child try and weld something?
Fucking, I hate this kid. Anyway, the girls catch a monster, a bad CGI monster, which was a good sequence.
A monster with a very elaborate scam where he tries to pretend to be one of their friends. With like a monster mask on and then walk away. And then she's like, wait, Josh or whatever the guy's name is, where are your feet? And he's like, and then turns into ghosts and chase them, and then they trap him. And they're like, oh, if we're gonna keep trapping him, we're gonna need more of these traps. We see how many dots are on the screen. They do not have enough traps for all these monsters, let me tell you. Which I asked the question when they were like hesitant to shoot Josh when they thought he was a person. Do the guns hurt people? We never see.
No fucking idea, Luke.
No clue.
They catch a ghost. And then finally they are like radioing Cobb, like, we need more of these.
Yeah, we need more traps.
And then finally Cuck Friend sacks up and he's like, I'll take
it. It's
that.
Been like 5 minutes for the record.
Yeah, but the plot starts.
Well, because like, I think there is like a time jump here where they just have been catching a bunch of ghosts around the mansion.
Yeah.
Because we see them catch one, and then like, I think like Bob and Theodosia are like, oh, she's gaining confidence. Like Diamata, I think Diamata leaves Mira at this point.
Oh, yes. They're like, this is what happens. Mira's eating. And she's like, it's time for a fucking mass hysteria.
Yeah.
And then she's like, so she sets all the ghosts to like go crazy. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, this costume's getting like dirty. So she steps out of here. Mira falls down
another flight of stairs.
in a fall that would literally kill someone and their unborn child.
Again, it's worse than the first one.
On SVU. Even worse, you see more of her crumpled form. She can't even stand up at the end. So the cuck friend finally steps up and is like, I'll take the traps, and they give him the big gun.
Yeah, which I liked that he's like, because Cobb's like, oh, I can't be two places at once. And he's like, no, you need to stay here and fix this thing. Because he tried welding and was shitty at it, obviously. He's shitty at everything. He's like, I can just run the traps over. And there's like a big gun on the wall they didn't give Skylar. And so he takes that. And there's actually a pretty decent joke where he grabs it and is holding it upside down. And then Cobb has to turn it upside
down. I'm not loving it. I'm laughing about what's coming up. So he starts going through the woods.
This is the stupidest shit I've ever seen. I actively was like, this sucks.
And this stupid looking pumpkin motherfucker, Bob
comes up and he's just like, hey, Henry.
Just a guy. What is Bob's exit? At one point, Henry tries to shoot a gun and he goes, hey, Jellyfingers. The scarecrow is doing Mater from Cars.
No, not even.
I was literally in tears at this point because it's just a standoff between these two. Nothing
the
happens.
The most undeserved standoff in the history of the world where he tries to shoot him with a gun, not the big gun. I would use the big gun.
The big gun's around his neck. I'm like, pull off the big gun. I go, can you just murk this motherfucker and prove you're worth something once and for all?
Like, literally do anything. And so Bob is just like, hey, I need to feed on some of your feet.
Hey, Jerry Fingers.
I need to feed on some of that feet here, that sweet, sweet feet I got for me. And he's like, I'm not afraid. He goes, oh, yes, you are. You're afraid of everything. I should know. I've been eating all your fear this long. And he goes, I'm not afraid of you. And he's like, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, and this goes back and forth. And, like, you see Bob gets, like, smaller and smaller as this goes on. And then eventually he's just, like, a pile of clothes on the ground. And then Henry just walks off. And I'm like, put him in a trap. Put the man in a trap. Like,
shoot him
with a gun. Like, do anything. He just walks away. I was like, oh, my God.
And then Henry gets into the house. He's like, whatever scares you, just do it.
Yeah,
just,
it's like,
stand up to them.
Henry has solved this with no legwork.
None.
It's literally, he was just like, I'm not
afraid of you. Which is the most anticlimactic thing.
Am I not afraid of you, I have no reason to no longer be afraid
of
you.
But it also doesn't work for anyone else. It works for
Sadie and then kind of Skylar, but no, her Blair's
just
special.
But not Diamala, because it's
special.
Okay,
special, yeah.
But I like it. He's like, whatever scares you, just do it. I'm like, well, then Olivia Holt should just go kiss Ryan.
So I guess, she wasn't scared of that. That's what Ryan was afraid of. But like,
then you should go kiss her full on the mouth.
Yeah, so I guess the thing that he needed to do that he was afraid of is to just talk to the scarecrow man. Like, he didn't
making fun of his body in the locker.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, should have just taken out his micro penis or something.
They could have avoided so much of these stupid jokes we're making without the locker room. And
they did this to themselves.
Also,
but yeah, you can apparently just confront your monster and they go away. It's fine.
My notes here just become such a mess. I'm like, okay, bitch, you can spell goat. Come on.
But yeah, the hysteria at the party has started where, like, the ghosts are
following everyone around.
Everyone's running around screaming. Their kids just getting, like, thrown around. Like, I don't know what the ghosts are doing. They're just, like, bad CGI of the kids getting thrown in the air or something.
And Henry's trying to say whatever you scares.
But then Henry runs in on it.
And,
yeah,
like, just stand up to them. Finally, Olivia Holt Skylar is like, I gotta sing because I was scared of
that,
singing.
Which seems like a logic leap. I think there are a lot more, like, we have a lot more problems going on right now.
She goes around, she's like, back me up. And he's like, sure?
And he's like, hey, apparently monsters are real and we're all being chased by them. I don't think we should
also
do that.
Also, there's a great cut. So Myra is kicked. I want to just give this actor so much credit. Myra is kicked out. The ghost discards her body. The kids all try to run out of the house. Mm-hmm. Because when the monsters are real, the gates are slammed shut by the ghosts. Mm-hmm. And she's right in front of the gate and she has to do like the classic scream queen, like, and she fucking kills it.
Yeah.
And this is even after she's done being possessed. I was like, she just slayed that shot.
Yeah, there is a scene where they talk to Myra after she gets unpossessed, but I don't think anything comes from
it. She says, I was possessed by this crazy lady.
Yeah, and then maybe she says that she's going to cause mass hysteria or whatever. But yeah, she says, Ryan, back me up. And she says one of my favorite lines of the movie is like, your guitar is wireless, right? And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Because of all the things that they need to explain that they left us hanging on, they make sure they explain the wireless guitar.
Well, the thing is I'm glad all these instruments are wireless and they're putting music to the room you guys are all leaving when they run out to the graveyard. It doesn't make any sense. But they have to go get the rest of the band together because she needs full accompaniment. But while Ryan is getting his guitar on,
he's possessed.
Why doesn't he get a cool outfit? Why doesn't he get a cool takeover outfit?
I didn't even notice that. You're so correct.
He should get a cool takeover outfit. This is male discrimination, goddamn.
Eyes glow red.
If I got possessed by a ghost and I didn't get a cool takeover outfit, I would be pissed off.
And his eyes glow red and they walk out to the courtyard of this graveyard and she's going to start singing. And he straight up is like, you fucking suck at singing, because he's possessed by DMR. And he's like, you should be embarrassed. Who would ever like you? And I said, good play, stunt queen, because if my crush rubbed me for filth like that, I'd kill myself. At 15, if my crush said that to me, I would straight up unalive myself.
Yeah, but like, he's talking in such a way that's so obviously not.
Doesn't matter.
Like, if a hot guy
said any of that shit to me, I would say, well, goodbye, like, world.
It's too over the top. She should have gone more subtle with it. When he should have been like, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, Mira is a way better singer than you.
Hey, Luke, based on everything I've seen about this character, I don't know if subtlety is her strong suit.
That's fair. You're not wrong. But yeah, everyone's getting run around. Henry's still trying to, Henry's still being like, don't be afraid, stand up to them, do something you're afraid of. And I was like, does that work forever? Like, is all of the monsters here, someone here?
No one's the same thing, because they're stupid. Yeah, cock.
Well, I would never listen to this man. But I'm like, but that's what I'm saying, is like, so are all the monsters that are terrifying these kids, are they their monsters? Are these miscellaneous monsters that Diamata has summoned? Like, and they're feeding on the fear, but these are, if they not their kids or their people, you know? Like, what?
These are just freelance. They're freelance.
Yeah, they're freelancers. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
But then
they're doing it for the exposure.
Then you can then you can also see Ryan start trying to fight the possession, and you can see Skylar realize he's being possessed, and then he's trying to fight Diamata out, and she's right. Like, do something that scares you, show her
this is
afraid.
Good I hate to admit it, it's really good.
It's one of these moments where I go, is this movie awesome?
Is this smart? Is this good writing?
Is good? And she's like, come on, Ryan, you can fight her, do something that scares you. And he goes, will you go out with me? And then he, like, she unpossesses him, and I am sitting there grinning like an idiot.
It's good.
Like,
it's good writing.
And they both sell it, and then you see Sadie go, G-O-A-T, goated,
oh,
bitch.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention. She's been getting harassed by Theodosia this whole time, and she's, like, trying to stand up to her, like Henry has been saying, but she's just like, you think you're...
Lucas, I can't do this. I already talked about it.
Yes, the point is she's trying to get her to spell goat, and she's so scared she can't do it, and they do it 17 freaking times, and it's painful, and then eventually she spells it. Then she says, like, spell terrified. She spells it, and she goes, which I'm not, and then she crumples to dust in front of her, and that's her arc, I guess. It's shitty.
Now they have a performance on these graves, which fucking rules.
Should not. Hey, Skylar, you've got a lot more shit to do. Like, this is not the time.
But it starts because she was scared of singing.
For the monster mash.
Because she was scared of singing.
Why didn't they use the monster mash in this? That'd be great.
I don't think we have the rights. But they could have done, like, a remix version.
That's what I'm saying. Have her do, like, a remix of the monster mash. They're in a graveyard. They're doing the graveyard bash.
But it's sick. There's, like, a graveyard pergola thing. Like, that little, like, dome she's under. I get it. She's singing. She gets the freelancer ghost away with this. Because she's being unafraid. They're all... And then, therefore, her singing makes all the kids unafraid.
I guess, like... And so, I do want to unpack this real quick, though, before we talk about the musical number. Does everyone just know monsters are real now?
Yeah, they're fine with it.
Yeah, but, like, I thought they were going to do a thing, like, where the crowd was like, oh, this was just part of it. It's Halloween. It was a scary thing, but it was leading us out here so we could do this big performance or something.
No.
But no, everyone's just like, well, monsters might be real, but this song slaps!
Yeah, Luke, you're bringing me down right now. This song is awesome. Her performance is so good. At one point, she does a full lift onto Ryan's shoulder,
yes.
Which is so hot!
The choreo is really good.
The choreo is insane. And then she does an assisted front flip back onto
people become backup dancers. You guys should see Emma's face right now.
It was, I don't even know what this, I think the song was called Fearless.
Yes.
This was when I went, is this movie fucking really awesome? And then I was like, oh shit, I forgot about her parents.
Yeah,
and
we gotta do this. And apparently she did too, because she just sang that whole song.
So now Diamata is, which sounds like a disease. It reminds me of stigmata.
Well, it's weird because
it, in their
it,
hands.
If you have the subtitles on, it's spelled like Diamata, like D-E-I-Mata, but there's another A in there. I don't know how they messed that up. But yeah, Diamata's gambit has failed in terms of the party, so she's like, okay, well, I'm going to hit her where it hurts, and I'm going to go torture your parents or whatever, I guess. And we also cut back to them, like, trying to get out of it earlier. Really mm-hmm. But she's, like, lifting the rope that's tying them over one edge of the house.
I just, like, at one point, she's trying to, like, villain speak to Skylar about her... what she's gonna do,
mm-hmm.
And the dad starts talking, and she goes, shut up, Steve.
He sucks. I really...
Also, like, as all this is happening and, like, this big battle is happening on the roof, like, Ryan starts walking, like, with the guitar. I'm like, okay, honey, put down the guitar. That time's over. We're past.
I'm really loath to describe this climax on the roof because there's a lot. There's so much going on.
This is their end of Ghostbusters rooftop climax.
Kind of, yeah. So she's got them hanging over the edge and she's like, tell you what, D'Amata, let my parents go and you can have me to possess or whatever, like, you want. She's like, okay, I'll take that trip, but you gotta put your guns down. She's like, okay, fine, puts her guns away.
But she only does that because her Sadie is hidden behind the wall.
Which D'Amata somehow does not see. She's very clearly standing there.
But she's hidden. And so
but this
like,
is all done unspoken, too.
Yeah,
so
she
it's
sees
like,
Sadie, okay, I'll put my guns down, but Sadie still has her guns. And yes. So it's like, this is a trap. These are trick.
Because she takes all of her guns off. One of the wrists things stays on the roof or whatever. And the D'Amata puts her parents down. And like the second they hit the solid roof, like she grabs the gun from Sadie and starts like trying to shoot her. D'Amata's like, how dare you try to trick me? And then becomes just like even more of a big gross smoke thing and like knocks the parents around. They're clinging on like a pipe that's sticking out of the roof. They're trying to blast her with the guns and they're all shitty at it, even though she's not moving an inch.
Horrible aim. But also when they do hit her, she's getting stronger. And the parents
she does like a Hydra thing where like she gets multiple heads and she says like
Hercules.
She says like, do my two heads make me look fat? And I was like, what does that even mean in this context?
Disney loves that joke. They say that does this make me look fat in like every other movie. But it never lands. But the problem is that when they do land a shot, doesn't do anything. She grows on their head.
Yeah, yeah.
And the parents start fucking yelling at Skylar and they're like, stop being afraid. She's feeding on your fear. She's feeding on your fear. And Skylar is like Indiana Jones gymnastics slaying this roof. Finally, she goes, it's not my fear. I'm not scared. She's feeding on your fear. Which I thought was a good
twist. Thought is not how that works.
Nope, it doesn't make sense. The lore of the movie, Lucas.
The world's building.
Stop picking nits here.
Also, my favorite part of this is Henry being still inside the house, doesn't go on the roof.
With
the giant gun, he cannot figure out how to shoot it because he sucks. He sucks.
Every other note, I'm like, shoot the gun, cock friend.
Like, shoot the goddamn gun.
He's just like fucking with the buttons.
Everybody should be shooting guns in this movie constantly. And they have
Sadie,
such a problem.
Sadie's
doing her best. But like, yeah, Henry just can't. He's like, to be fair, it's meant to be more complicated than the standard gun. But I mean, like, come on, it can't be that hard. Work it out. There's just a trigger. Maybe you have to pull the safety off or something. I don't know. But he's just sucking dick at shooting this gun. It's awful.
It's so infuriating.
But yeah, so the parents have to start like manifesting their trust in their daughter. Like, I trust my daughter so much. She's a young woman now.
Can I also just say, the dad has rocking upper body.
He is holding onto that pipe like it's no one's business.
One arm, his wife on the other arm for 10 minutes.
I thought maybe they were gonna like, she got her rope, so I thought maybe they would put
No. They have a full conversation and he's still holding on.
The man has got like, biceps of steel. Schwarzenegger like, could never.
It's like, how do they even win eventually?
So they weaken her by getting the parents to do their mantras and like affirming that they trust their daughter and that she's a young woman and they have to let go and they can't keep her safe forever. And then Henry manages to get the big freaking gun working because he's an idiot. And then Skylar manages to retrieve the wrist gun that she had. And then like that with Sadie with the big gun, all shooting the monster because she has three heads now, maybe managed to like stun her enough that Henry can open one of the traps and close it.
He does something.
He should have done it quicker, but he does something.
And then one more song, baby. One more song. It has had me at hello reprise. I'm not ready.
I do want to reference, by the way, all of the shots on the roof look like shit because it's all of them just like looking at green screen nonsense because, you know, D'Amata is obviously not there. They cannot shoot at anything looking like they're actually shooting at something. But yeah, like, is this weird end scene where Skylar is singing with the band? I'm like, okay, so I guess she's joined the band now, ?
And they wrap up everyone else's plot lines.
In narration,
where, like, she's singing, and
with
they're like...
With Myra? I guess they're friends now?
She was singing with hot guitar guy Ryan. I was like, ooh, duet. And then Myra comes up, and I go, oh, threat!
She doesn't get to sing. She just goes, like, add some ooh, woo, woo.
No, she gets one part of the chorus, and then they switch her out.
Oh, yeah.
They do give her some words. I thought they were just gonna have her ooh and ah, but they give her a little bit of work to do, and then you see Sadie giving her presentation without fear.
On the amygdala.
About the amygdala. And then you see Henry standing up to his bullies,
that
to which
weird,
I wrote,
that weird,
he was getting bullied.
Yeah, that was a problem he had.
Besides
to,
me bullying him.
Yeah, we bullied this guy more than anybody. It was just that one guy, like, scared him. And then it was like, he's like, watch where you're going. And then Henry goes like, you watch where you're going. And he's like, all right, whatever. And just leaves. And it's like, cool, I guess. And then I think we get like an end shot of like the parents doing fungus mold stuff. And like, they don't even, I thought we'd get a shot of them like training Skylar or something. And we don't really get
no,
that.
No, I was thinking this was going to wrap with them all being monster hunters in that big mansion.
Working
out of
movie.
Like a Ghostbusters Inc. scenario.
I said that during Scream.
Instead we got this weird fucking band practice and nothing I cared about. And that's girl.
We didn't really get confirmation that her and Ryan like dating worked out or whatever.
I could tell by their energy they were.
That they've been banging.
In that Victorian car.
But yeah, that's Girl versus Monster. It's a weird one. It's not...
I had a lot to say about it.
I had more fun with it than I expected. I definitely think it's not particularly well made.
It's kind of like one of those shitty ones where it's fun to talk about. Like, it gave me a lot. There was
a lot
going on.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's like wholly shitty. I think there are some good things in here that work. And to be fair, as much as we're criticizing them for these shitty things, I do feel like it's very tongue-in-cheek. Like, it is not trying to take itself that seriously, and I get it. But it's like, the ways it tries not to take itself seriously are so funny to talk about. For sure.
And I respect when someone does a half-assed job and then says, oh, this is not that good. Let's have someone come serve cunt in the middle of the movie.
I feel like that's one of the main attractions to it. Yeah. I thought you were also going to say you just love when two hot people are the leads and have a lot
and
of romantic.
And
of
they get to sing.
And they get to sing, yeah.
I loved that.
But I mean, I think the performances carry a lot, like Emma was saying, because the material they had to work with is rough. To put it generously.
It's also a movie that is slow to start. Because the lore is hard to figure out.
Yeah.
And it takes you a while to know what the fuck is going on. But once you and Olivia Holt know what the fuck is happening, it's a much better movie.
Once you can get on board with it and just, like I said, like just let it wash over you and ride the train.
After you make a bunch of diagrams explaining this lore to yourself because it's so convoluted.
It's what's just so bad, too, is the thing. Like, seriously,
gang.
We
don't need to do all of this. Just have there be ghosts. Shut up.
I feel like that was a note at some point, is that they were like, they didn't want it. They were going to do ghosts, but then it was like, this is two Ghostbusters, and so they said just do monsters, but they're functionally the same thing. But what would you rate it?
I would give this a 6.5 out of 10.
Really? I was gonna give it a 5.
The songs really elevate anything.
And Myra, I think, elevated a lot for you.
She's the 0.5 herself.
So what are we watching next month? Also, did you have any pop culture things you wanted to bring up this time? We got some positive feedback.
I mean, I got to the Ariel Winter stuff. Oh, what did we get positive feedback on? What did we talk about?
When we talked about theme parks last time, but I guess you're asking me about...
I'm really into Fantasy Springs and Tokyo Disney. I don't know if anyone else is up on the Fantasy Springs construction. It opens in June, I think. I'm gonna try to go when I go to Tokyo in September.
Without me.
Yeah, well, learn how to eat raw fish and then we'll talk,
buddy.
That's fair. Anyway, that's the new expansion in Tokyo Disneyland where it's the Rapunzel Tangled section, Frozen Kingdom, and a new Peter Pan section. And it looks... sick.
Ooh, Peter Pan section, that's a pull.
Yeah, there's like a Jolly Roger and like a Tinkerbell ride, so it looks...
Are the wait times gonna be as long as Peter Pan in America?
Yeah, I don't know, probably. Is there any other theme park news? Looking at the it looks like they're ready to open Tati's Bayou Dip in,
Say what it's actually called.
For the Sia's Bayou Adventure.
No one's gonna know what you're
homage
talking.
Homage to Las Culturistas listeners, Princess Tati's Bayou Dip.
Yeah, our sister podcast, yes. Bowen Yang, our friend of the show, Bowen Yang.
He would like us if he met us.
Probably, but he has no clue who we are.
Matt would love to talk about theme parks with us.
Do they have a DCOM they love? They should come on.
Oh, I should see. But they... We're talking.
Bowen, I know you're listening. Come
they're
on.
Ready to launch it, I think, in World. It looks ready. They had Imagineers riding it.
Yeah, I think it'll be ready in World before it
Can
is
I
here.
Can I just say, I need Disney to stop releasing sleigh house boots down concept art and then have the rides not fucking look like that. I'm sure the ride
that's
is
just
great.
Theme parks.
I know, but the concept art looked so fucking sick.
But that's what I'm saying. It always
and
looks better on the
I
page.
I know, but the concept art had it being the Splash Mountain than with the Mama Odie's boat in the tree. The top,
yeah,
and they don't fucking have that on the ride.
Oh, they just didn't do it.
They just didn't fucking do
well,
it.
There's probably a reason. Probably you can put like that much weight on top of it or something.
I don't give a shit. They don't put it on the art.
We don't want another Yeti situation where then something breaks and they.
I'll die in that tunnel.
Well, Yeti didn't kill anybody. I just mean like if you put, you know, they built basically a mountain around the Yeti. They can't get to it to fix it. Joe Rohde, I know you're also listening. I know you're getting inducted as a Disney legend this year. Use that clout. Fix the goddamn Yeti. You can't die before getting that Yeti fixed. Pick your movie.
Zombies 3!
Zombie, what, you would, you got mad at me for doing like a Halloween-y thing.
Well, listen, zombies is about love more than anything. And about Milo Manheim. And love is eternal.
And so. About aliens, I guess.
Yeah, I think we get into the, I've actually never seen Zombies 3 all the way through.
Why would you have watched outside of the context of this podcast? Are you that big of a zombie head?
Really into zombies.
Jesus Christ.
I watched a few minutes of it.
I think it still counts as a DCOM, but I know it aired on Disney Plus first, but I think they aired like a version later. I think that counts, I'm pretty sure. So I guess tune in for zombies. I wonder what the Emma versus Luke of the Zombies 3 is going to... Isn't Aliens this time?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
You can't stop the zombie lore.
Are they making more zombie stuff?
I think yes.
No.
I'm pretty sure the Zombies 4 is on the docket.
I refuse. I refuse to keep doing this.
I love Meg Donnelly. Dude, I love them!
I don't dislike the people.
Luke just said to me, I hate Meg Donnelly, and I hope she dies.
I don't hate Meg Donnelly. She's fine. I actually like Milo Manheim, too. These movies do something to my brain that makes me want to tear my hair out. I don't know. Yeah, so we've got werewolves now, and then there's aliens. And she wasn't a werewolf, but she might be an alien.
Yeah, that's how they...
We still got to figure out what's going on with her white hair.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And they thought it was werewolf, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. So,
which means she was culturally appropriating werewolf culture that whole movie.
Well, it was really awkward when she put like that stone on, and they're like, "Oh, you're not a werewolf." Yikes. All right, screw it. We'll do zombies, I guess.
Woo-hoo!
I mean, I can't stop you. It's your turn.
We're running out of movies, guys.
What are we on? We're getting close to 90. Oh, frick. There's only like 20 left.
I know.
Wow, gang. Emma, where can people find you on the internet?
I am at Emma Stone Tyler on X, Instagram,
don't
TikTok.
Call it X. I refuse. Find me on Twitter at wildfire_king. And as, of course, as I already mentioned, you can find us on Twitter at @DComedyPodcast. Give us a follow there. Like and our stuff. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate and review us. All that jazz. We really appreciate what you do, and it helps us out so much. You should also do the same to any of the shows on audioentropy.com. There's a ton of great podcasts. Check them out. They'll be one you like, I guarantee it. By the time this comes out, I'll have been on my friend Dom Noble, his podcast, Reginald's Book Club. You can find a link to that on our Twitter as well. But I think that'll do it for this month. Come back for what hopefully is the end to the Zombies series, or at least this beginning trilogy, even though Zombies will just go on for forever if Emma has her druthers.
And I'll self-fund it. Like that J-Lo movie. I just keep Milo Manheim and Meg Donnelly in my basement and keep making them make more zombies.
Alright, well, until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
DComs forever.
So much catching up to do. How's the fear business? Stephen King still writing?
Yes, but his last novel was historical fiction.
Scary historical fiction?
No particularly.
What about horror movies? Still big with the kids?
No, it's all gross-out comedies now. But vampires are in.
Ooh, well, that's promising.
Except they're romantic vampires who fall in love.
Ugh. We've got work to do.